Don and Mike Show.
Want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Don and Mike, there'll be no mollycoddling.
Will you see if your mom can give my resume to Dennis Phillips? Because if I could get in a Broadway show, then I would have done it all. Film, television, and theater. The only thing left to be radio. That's just for ugly people.
Stay tuned for your shot at Big Bucks. Secret Sound, only on the Don and Mike Show.
This episode deals with the inappropriateness of racial invectives and contains coarse racial slurs. Viewer discretion is advised.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
The rumors are true. They smoke, they drink, they use bad language in mixed company. They're extremely rich and they can flash more bling than most posses in this room. Rock stars they are, and God bless them for that.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Where the stars in this piece of sh**?
They're at it again.
Take it easy, honey. After all, we never see them.
Well, it's almost worse this way. Just hearing them.
Yeah, hey, Rob, this is Rob. Rob Grill with the Grassroots. I got the message, and I'd love to come in the studio that day. I'm getting into town probably about noon, and I'll be over in that area around 2. So we can work that out. That'd be great. And then we can talk to Don about his singing ability or lack thereof, and we can figure that one out, too. So I'll give you a call tomorrow during business hours and try to hook this thing up. Thanks. Bye. Yeah, Rob, this is Rob Grill with the Grassroots. You've got the number. I just wanted to let you know I'm arriving at Dulles at noon, and I'm going to take a cab, and then I have the show at 7. So, you know, I just kind of figured I'm not going to have a car or anything. I don't know if a cab would be right or not, but give me a call back. I'll be home this evening. If you can, call me and let me know if we can work out what time we can do this. And
I don't know that one.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Where the stars in this piece of sh**?
I don't know that one.
You really believe this guy doesn't want to have kids?
Yeah, of course.
Elaine, a guy will say anything to get a woman.
Oh, please, he wouldn't say that.
Elaine, I once told a woman that I coined the phrase, pardon my French.
I once told a woman I don't eat cake because it goes right to my thighs.
Once told a woman I enjoy spending time with my family.
Okay, hi, this is Dorm Radio, D-O-R-M, broadcasting live from the basement of the Science Building.
Great.
Okay, this anniversary for Don and Mike, and after it's taped, give it to Andrea and she'll phone and say she's got it, okay? Hi, it's Larry King in Washington. So proud of the fact that Don and Mike have reached their 8th anniversary. Pleasure to welcome you both. Happy conversation. Happy anniversary, guys. You're both, I was going to say you're both terrific, but...
Where the stars in this piece of s***?
Fire.
Okay. Hi, Don and Mike.
Fire. Welcome to our show.
Hey, Don and Mike, or you don't know could fill a book.
It's the Don and Mike Show, and they'll say what they wish.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
All right, here they were, the guys that were directing traffic in Northwest Washington, D.C.
Get them out of here.
Hate them. I hate them.
I had a car going the wrong way on a one-way street, I think.
It's a true story. He was a neo-Nazi with one true enemy. Himself, a man of faith, a man of hate, and a soul torn apart. Viewer discretion advised.
And good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Knock Knock. What? And all the ships at sea. Hey, one runs pyrotechnics for Great White, the other fills up tanker ships in Staten Island, and together, they're Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Thank you, Robbie, and hi, thank you for listening, everybody. Don and Mike Show. New episode on this Friday. February 21.
Right.
Here's the phone number, 877-365-3636.
Hi, Don and Mike, Buzz Burbank here.
Now, Mike, you might be wondering about the weird configuration of the studio today.
What I know is I don't know, and it feels better. It feels more spacious for you. Are you just jammed up with equipment over there? I mean, you look like everything's been, like, moved into your lap.
We finally have more telephone lines. Good. That's the great news.
Excellent.
The bad news is that the engineers here, God bless them, they have no sense of what working in a radio studio is like. So bear with me. I now have 1, 2, 3, 4 sets of telephones that I'm going to have to be pushing buttons on, and 2 different sets of screens to watch to see the calls that are screened.
Is that you right there, right in front of you?
Yes. I can tell you that we now have 12, and 6 is 18, 19, 20. We finally have 20 telephone lines for this show.
Yay! Wow.
So you can call at 877-365-3636. There are 12 phone lines that ring to that number.
Right.
Or you could call 202-432-1067.
That'll cost you.
If you're in D.C., you can call on those lines.
Right.
We have 2 of those lines. Or you can call 800-636-1067.
We're going to have somebody like with a recording say this eventually?
No. Eventually they're all supposed to just
be one number.
All paths lead to our number. But
excellent.
Right now we have one number that goes to 2 lines.
How did you get that number?
One number that goes to 4 lines and one number that goes to 12 lines.
Wow.
And it's just goddamn confusing. And
is there new software for the computer, too?
Yes, there is. And I'm going to try to take a call on the new system now. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, this is Rob. I wanted to be the first DA to call in today.
Congratulations, you are. And let me see, you are calling from, let me see if I get this right, from Richmond.
Yes, I'm a truck driver. I'm heading back towards Richmond right now.
And I want to tell you the beautiful thing. I've done a little bit of complaining here about the configuration. I'll get used to it. I'll run it like a pro by the end of the show.
Sure.
But the beautiful thing about this new telephone system is I can tell you without even dialing star 69 that this man's calling us from area code 804, and the first 3 digits of his phone number are 306.
We have
immediate caller ID on all of our telephone lines.
Wonderful.
Whoa, that is going to be so nice.
So there's no more of that hiding, and I think this has been set up that we won't accept calls from people who block their telephone number.
Oh, delightful.
Brilliant.
There will be nothing but sweet revenge.
That's great.
On this show. All right, thanks. You're the first DA. Now let me see if I can figure out how to turn this phone off, and I did it.
There you go.
It's gone.
Glitch free.
But now, shouldn't it be gone from the screen?
It should.
It should, right? It should be screen. Let me see.
Hold it. Did you just put it on hold?
Are you still there? There you go.
Hey!
It cleared. It's off. Okay, great. We finally got more phone lines.
Right, very good.
Never mind. Jesus Christ. I'm looking at this, and I'm trying to figure out.
Star Wars, nothing but Star Wars.
Trying to figure out how the frig to run this thing. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
My girlfriend had to be carded when she ordered drinks last night.
Oh, you came to join us last night at the Acropolis?
Yeah.
Yeah, so? Right. Thank you.
Brilliant. Thank you. Was that Opie or Anthony? I'm not sure which one that was. Listen, it was Anthony. We had an appearance last night at the Acropolis in D.C., and we want to thank those who joined us. First off, we apologize for arriving late. We left this radio station, which is 18 miles from downtown D.C. We left at 7. Now, we are going in caravan. It was Mike first.
How'd I do?
Followed by, well, you did great. Followed by Rob. Followed by me. Herein lies the tactical mistake.
I made a real, real effort to go the speed limit.
And Mike, you did great. It wasn't until we got downtown. And you know, Rob, I love you. But following Rob is like following an Amish guy in his buggy. Because I'm wondering why, for the longest time, we're just staying in the right-hand lane. There are cars that are zipping by us on 17th Street as we crossed over Constitution Avenue. Cars that are zipping by, and we are just staying in the right-hand lane through 4 and 5, 6 cycles of the light.
This is why Mike got to the place almost 80 seconds before us.
You know, the fact was the snow removal in Washington, D.C. is so inadequate, and they are still digging out from the snowstorm. Yeah, and apparently it has caused gridlock within the city, and I guess the center of the problem was on the Key Bridge going into Georgetown here in D.C., And the problem was that they were, all the streets going where we were going towards this this bar, the Acropolis, were all jammed up.
Because you normally got three lanes of traffic, and what happens is because of the snow and snow removal, you could move down to one lane,
right,
and people are merging together. And then there was just one gigantic dumbass, and I guess his cab had broken down. And rather,
right in the middle, right in front of the World Bank.
Rather than simply try to push the car out of the way or get some help,
right,
he opened the trunk and opened the roof,
right,
and left.
Oh. Do you know, when I was driving by that cab driver, and I looked at the fact that his trunk was open and his hood was open, and he was smack dab in front of the World Bank, and then I looked at him, and I saw the country of origin that he was from, and I, for one little moment, one little fleeting moment, I said, kaboom.
So,
you know, I was a little nervous.
So what a show we had last night. We're talking about the Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey, Don and Mike, you guys rock. That's for you, Tim.
Right.
Hey, I want to know why you guys are stealing material from Grant Napier.
Oh, God, you knock it off.
Wow.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike, Radio Gods. I was just calling to let you guys know that with your new phone line and your new phone system, you are now accessible to all the Canadians up in Vancouver, B.C. We can get a hold of you now.
All right.
Rob, stop.
Canada? Although, hey, no, Rob, just zip it back there. So I'm wondering, like, on Secret Sound and things, can we call in and win prizes?
No, no Canadians allowed.
Now stop it. Come on now.
Mike, I'm sorry.
It's France. It's the enemy. Why do you guys lop them all together?
Mike, I've hated Canada for a long time.
A lot of French people in Canada.
I have Canadian friends. You know that.
Why do you think 80% of Canada lives within 12 miles of the American border?
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Coincidence?
Hello?
Don
and Mike, hi.
Hey, it's Don in Victoria, B.C., Canada, unfortunately, I guess.
Hey, listen to this. Now, come on, Canadians, keep calling.
Nah, listen, you bastards.
Keep calling.
I tell you what, the people from Canada can call in as soon as you decide that you, in fact, are going to be the 51st state.
Hey.
Oh, Canada.
Oh, Mike, that is sacrilege.
Sorry about that.
That is sacrilege.
Love Canada.
You know what Canada is? Canada is Mexico with worse weather.
You know, I'm part French-Canadian. Did you know that?
Hey! I spit on you.
Hey!
I spit on you.
Both of you, knock it off.
So listen, last night we got this thing, and it's not a Las Vegas-style show anymore. It's just a thing where we show up and we want to meet people and get together. It's a meet and greet is what we call it. So we fight the traffic to get down there.
I've never seen, in all my years driving in Washington, I've never seen traffic like that.
And at first when we walked in, we were a bit worried. We asked Rob A. to go down and tell us how many people were there.
Well, I got it first from Brad, when Mr. Positive, and Brad said...
Brad's the sales guy.
And Brad said to me something along the lines of, it's dead. it's really dead.
So he sent Rob down, and Rob came up and said, about four people.
He said a couple.
Yeah. I think he said four.
No, he said a couple of people. He sat down and he said... Give me a number, a couple, and then he said 78.
I heard the number go from 4 to 78.
Yeah.
Well,
what did you say? You were there.
I never said 4. I think I said there's a few people down there.
Well, then maybe Brad said 4.
A couple.
And then I said when you press me for a hard number,
because I was really like, because Brad had said it's dead, and I was starting to get really paranoid about it, and I said, what do you mean a couple? And Rob said, well, I said, give me a hard number, and Rob estimated 78, and then by the time we got down there, there was a really, really good crowd, and
it was packed.
But I mean, I'm amazed that there was anybody there because of the traffic situation.
I almost gave up myself, and I was sort of expected. So.
And how the hell are you supposed to park for something like that?
Some of the people who were there last night told me, take Metro.
Well, anyway, this is really a shock. Buzz arrived. To my knowledge, did he get there before you, Mike?
I got up there, and when I got to the little little VIP area up on the second floor, Buzz was enjoying the beginning of his second martini. So that puts Buzz there at least 25 minutes before I got there.
Let me just send out a shout out to all the people that work here in the building. You can't instant message me now, because if you instant message me, you're covering up other stuff on the telephone. Okay, so, and incidentally, it's not directed at Lisa.
Okay.
Because she doesn't just mess with it. It's Jason Tony now.
Talking to somebody
Jason
else.
Was there last night. Yeah, Jason was there with a bevy.
He
with
was?
A harem.
I didn't see him.
I thought he had the same girl that was falling out of her blouse at the
Christmas
party.
Well, he had his girlfriend, and then he had two girls from Miller Lite.
Oh, the Miller girls.
Right. The Miller Lite girls.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, guys. I wanted to thank you, first of all, for your appetizer-style show last night.
Thank you.
Did you get enough to eat?
Well, I had a snow horror story, too. I was coming in from, like, the Columbia, Maryland area, and I also just hit roads that were absolutely hellacious. Three lanes cut down to one.
Right.
And it was just awful. So I was there for a little piece at the end, but I just thank you for putting it on anyway. But yeah, I didn't get to really enjoy it much thanks to the weather or thanks to the roads.
The traffic reporter that I heard said you'll do really well if you go well northeast of the city or well south of the city. So I guess you could get into Washington if you went to Philadelphia or Richmond.
Well, anyway, we managed to get there and we had a very nice group of people. When we were up in the lounge area before we're getting a glass of liquid courage before we go down, because this is not like doing a Las Vegas show. This is just, you know, for me, I get a little phobic. Yeah. It's really just one-on-one contact with people.
It's intimate.
And, you know, I try to avoid that at all costs.
Normally.
Buzz, however, was out of his freaking mind. By the time I got up to the plush velour lounge, Buzz had polished off his second martini, looked absolutely gone, and they started bringing plates of food in. And one of the plates of food that they brought was some sushi.
Uh-huh.
And you know that stuff, wasabi?
Wasabi.
The green paste, wasabi mustard. It's like horseradish.
And normally what you do if you have...
I'm over here, Buzz.
If you have California rolls or you have some kind of sushi, what you do is you get some soy sauce and you put a very small piece of this wasabi in there because...
Pinch.
Because just a pinch to spice it up for your dunking.
Mm-hmm. It is, I think, known around, you know, restaurant circles as... probably the hottest condiment you can eat.
Well, the piece,
next to like that that kind of red pepper sauce?
Habanero or something. Yeah. Like
the
that.
Piece of wasabi that they had on this tray that they brought us was the size of a small bar of soap.
Yeah. Anybody that's ever eaten sushi or anything like that knows that you take this tiny little, I mean, just a tiny little pinhead,
just a sasson,
to really heat up your food. It's, and it makes, if you get like a direct hit with this stuff, it'll open up and burn your sinuses. I mean, it's incredible.
So they had this thing that was like in a mold to make it look like a fish or something, but it was about the size of a bar of soap. And at some point, Buzz gets challenged, eat it.
Well, I challenged him.
Mike challenged him.
I think you may have challenged Rob first, and he was reluctant, and then I spoke up, and you said, Buzz, are you interested?
Buzz, I said, you'll eat that entire pallet of the hottest substance on it. Because, I mean, I was sitting there with tears streaming down my eyes, because I'd gotten one little chunk of this stuff. I said, God, it's hot. He said, and Buzz says, out of the blue, yes,
I'll do it.
I will. And I bet him $100 that he wouldn't do it.
And, you know, Buzz normally... doesn't partake in our reindeer games. I mean,
no.
He'll show up and he'll drink and he'll be quiet and all to himself. But last night he was just like, look at me, I'm Buzz. So he got this soap bar sized piece of wasabi.
And anybody that knows what wasabi is can appreciate this story. And Buzz ate it like it was a scoop of ice cream.
One bite,
all the way down.
All of it.
And all he had was just the...
He didn't even want water.
No. He had the slightest bit of moisture coming out of his tear, like out of his tear duct.
And he was just going, wow, and stuff like that, but then it was over. In fact, it was disappointing because he handled it so well, I was a little bummed out.
We were telling him how like it can eat away at your stomach and it can rot you and all this
stuff.
I asked
him today when he came in, I said, I mean, any ill effects down there?
No, I'm fine.
Well, come over and get your money, Buzz.
I will, thank you.
Come on, I'm paying up.
$100 from Mike. Yeah, because Buzz put, you know, and
he earned it. And I mean, it was over so quick, I really...
That's the first time that Buzz has ever put on any type of an exhibition for us.
I choose my sports.
And he was totally confident. I mean, I knew he was going to do it, and, you know, he was impressing the chicks.
Yeah, so we went down, and we met so many nice people. And I want to thank everybody that came out. I know that we were spread out throughout the room. But I like to think that we made contact with everybody that was there.
And what I love about those things is you really get the wide variety of people. You really get people from all different walks of life. I mean, it makes me realize what a wide base we have, and that we've been doing this a long time, but you get so many people. You've got all these extremes. You get like a 55-year-old guy that works for computer software, and then, you look over on the other side, and you'll see a kid that's 18 years old, they can't drink a beer in the place, you know?
For some reason, I seem to get this a lot. I would get the husbands and wives a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It would be the husband coming over. I love your show. I listen to you every day. This is my wife.
She hates you guys.
Yeah. And then right away, you know, immediately,
right.
You know, you're forced into the seat. Well, you go now, ah, well, how could, you know, at the beginning of the evening, I start like, how could such a charming and delightful woman possibly not enjoy that? By the end of the evening, I'm like, you know, F you, bitch.
Really?
You know, you don't like the show, get out of here. Yeah.
You and I ran out of gas at officially the exact same time. Don and I, you know, Don and I were basically working both sides of the room. Don was over the one end, I'm over the other end. And when I saw you, it was like kind of a nonverbal, you know. And then you said, "Yeah, you want to go upstairs?" I'm like, "Oh God, please!"
So we were downstairs for a couple of hours and had a great time. And thanks to everybody that showed up. We really
great people, really nice people.
Absolutely, Wesley.
We really like doing that, like having our pictures taken with people and like saying hi. And I can't tell you how many. When I went home last night, I was going through my coat pocket. All the business cards that I have, mm-hmm. I had no idea. Like, guys here come up to me and say, do you ever need a computer?
Right.
You ever need to deal on TV?
Yep.
You ever need blah, blah, blah? So anyway, I guess it's a good way to network. Not that I'm ever going to call any of those people back. But,
right.
But they're all very nice. We got up to this little private party suite.
They got a Boston Red Sox bumper sticker.
Now,
mm-hmm.
we get up there, and it's all of us. Mike and Rob and Buzz and me and Joey. And they brought in, for some reason, these sorority girls.
Scores of them.
It was a special party.
Well, they didn't bring them in for us.
No, but I mean, they were there in another room.
In order for us to get to our room, we had to walk through this sorority.
Yeah, it was rough.
So these girls are obviously just whacked out of their mind, these college girls. They were all wearing nice formal dresses, and they had neckties on. And they came into our room where we were relaxing, and we right away started with, so you girls go to college? And they said, yes, well, yes, we do, blah, blah, blah. And we started saying stuff like, have you ever heard of Dean Wormer?
Yeah.
And then we started talking about Blutarski.
Mm-hmm.
And well, I started that, and the first thing I said was, I was trying to get the right names, and the only one that came to mind was, you know, oh, you're in a sorority. What's the name of it? Oh, really? Do you know Niedermeyer? And I look over at Don, and Don immediately knows what we're doing.
And I said, do you know Greg Marmalade?
Greg Marmalade.
And then Rob started tossing them in,
mm-hmm. right.
And we were on Dean Wormer, and these girls didn't have a clue.
Of course.
I think you said at that point, I said, yes, what about Dean Wormer? And then you said, or Dean Martin. And then you said, and Mrs. Wormer. He has a wife, Mrs. Wormer.
And these girls obviously had never seen Animal
House. They're complete. I mean, the age is so, you know, you realize when Animal House came in 1978, right? That movie came out. Yeah.
But who is it that effed up this great little inside thing we had going?
You know, you got to do it subtle. You know, even though it's really not subtle, you don't throw out the name that everybody. And Joe mentioned, who's the one guy from Animal House that everybody knows, even if they're young?
Flounder.
Do you know Flounder?
And it was at that moment, all the light bulbs went off.
Oh, that's Animal House.
And these girls suddenly knew that we were goofing on them.
Right, exactly.
You know, we had 10 great minutes with these broads.
Where we're really, like, biting our lower lips trying not to laugh, and it's hysterical.
But then we had the good fun of when they asked if we were performers, and we said, yes, we're a singing group. And Don said, can you guess which one of us is gay?
And who'd they point to?
It wasn't me.
It wasn't me.
It wasn't me.
It was me.
It was Buzz.
Buzz was selected as the gay one.
Right. Just when I think they were at their very epic peak of being sorority girls, the waitress asked me if she could bring me anything. I said, yes, I'd like a pistol, please.
So at that point, that was about 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
We'd been there over 2.5 hours, and, you know, much like I made the eye contact with you when it was time to leave the actual appearance,
yep.
Then the little after party, I made the eye contact with Rob, and Rob and I left, and now we're going to play a game that we haven't played for a long time on the show, and I know the answer, and anybody that wants in on this, you can get your action right now.
Okay.
Robbie?
Yes?
Buzz, now can Joe play this? Is Joe eligible?
No. No, Joe is not eligible.
So it's just...
I mean, not Joe. Joe left, but Joe was there long enough where I don't think he would be part of this.
What time did Mike's head hit the pillow? What time did Mike's head hit the pillow?
May I guess first?
Take a shot at it.
It has been a while. We used to play this in New York. I'm going to guess
4:30.
Oh. Negative. Buzz.
I'll say 3.
Negative.
Would you like to guess if it's over or under? Now this will cost.
I'm being very quiet right now.
This will cost you if you want to bet. If you want a hint as to if it's over or under 3 o'clock in the morning. It'll cost you $5.
I don't need that hint.
Okay. You got a new guess?
I do.
What
I
is your new guess?
5:10.
Mike, is that?
What does it have to be within?
You got to hit it on the head.
Nope.
Can I guess one more?
Sure.
I'd like to say 5:30.
Buzz Bourbon.
Oh!
That's right.
Buzz Bourbon.
5:30. Mike, you're my hero.
I watch
you
a little
are my,
TV.
But still, yeah. You're my hero.
Yeah.
You amazing. Are my freaking hero.
Well, you said I'd be there late, and I would like to thank John and all the people down at the Acropolis. Yeah. They were a fine group of people, and, you know, they actually gave me a ride to, you know, they drove my truck to the hotel and put me to bed. And not really put me to bed. They actually dropped me off at the hotel, and then I went in and hit the sheets at about 5. The head was on the pillow at about 5:30.
Incredible. Incredible to think. God.
I was up at 9 o'clock this morning, too, and then sat up. Realize, oh no, put the head back down on the pillow. 2 hours went by, and you know, I was up fresh as a daisy, ready to go. And it was a good time was had by all.
Now, you got that talent, and I wish I had it.
Well, you know, I've been to this place before, and I know this place. I'm very comfortable. That little room we were in?
Yeah.
You want to give me my you know, perfect place? You give me that. You just sit me down in one of those like throne-like chairs,
nice.
And bring people to me, and I'll stay there as long as you want.
Well, you were there a while.
Okay. All my regular friends that I hang out with, they're not like shaking their head like, "Wow." You know me. I don't like the day to end. Mm-hmm. I don't like the night to end.
You're the man.
Yeah.
That's all I can
my
say.
Problem is, and because young people go out later, they start later. Mm-hmm. See, I don't start late. I start early, and then I still go late, and that's what hurts me.
Yeah.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, I saw Mike going strong at about 11:30.
You what?
I saw Mike going strong at 11:30.
Oh,
there.
Oh God, 11:30. That's like happy hour.
The night you was young.
11:30, that's when I'm doing my wind sprints.
I wanted to say to the listeners, though, that if you get a chance to see him there in any of the get-togethers, to definitely go, because walking through the bevy on the ground floor and then a bevy right in front of your back room there, it was filled with bevies, definitely.
Sounds like you might have hit the sheets pretty late, sir.
Nah, not too bad.
There's a lot of poontang there last night. There's a hell of a lot of poontang there. It was a booty call. It's a good thing you had your poontang clothes on, Mike.
Yeah. Oh, I got that, too. You know, and I knew you guys were, and Buzz knew it, too, when you guys were talking about that. I said, somebody said, you know, what do you mean poontang clothes?
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Oh, look at myself in the
mirror.
Hey,
guys, how's it going?
Yeah, you're right.
Well, look at how you're dressed today.
Yeah.
You know, compared to how you normally dress, like in a T-shirt and what do you got, khakis on.
Yeah.
Last night, as you rub your belly.
Yeah.
Hello, Don Mike Show.
You should have seen what I ate at 4:30 in the morning.
Oh, no.
I saw what you ate at 8:15.
Hey, lamb chops.
We're good.
Yeah. I just, you know, I'm trying to diet.
And, you know, you guys should make it real hard.
Don, you had great willpower last night. I really got your props for that.
They brought in food, plate after plate of food, yeah. And I just said, no,
phenomenal willpower.
I had a delicious, slim, fast shake about an hour ago.
I mean, you sat there in your big, like, concession, your big breakdown, one piece of sushi.
And it was good.
It was good.
Man, it was good. And you should have seen Mike go at the... I had
lamb chops, spinach... roasted potatoes. I had a couple of pieces of that that Greek bread with the hummus on it.
Yeah.
Then I had like 4 pieces of Rob's sushi that he was eating. And then that was it. Hey, you know, was it Timmy that ordered the calamari?
Yeah.
Yes.
Do you know why Timmy didn't get his calamari?
Why?
Because Joe and Brad were eating it at the bar. You know what? Hey, Joe, did you know that? Joe, I forgot to tell you that. That was Timmy O'Bibane's calamari you were eating.
Don and Mike, hello, are you there?
Guys, hey, how's it going?
Hey.
Good show last night. Hey, I hit my pillow around 1:15 with my wife yelling at me because I smell like booze and smoke, and I hand her that little yellow note. All of you guys signed a note to my wife last night. all those little sexual things to her, and it made it made that anger go away.
I felt a little awkward about doing that.
I remember you. You said, I want you to write the worst thing possible that you can.
You see, I always think somebody's going to use that against
her. No. She wants to laminate it and
put it
over pictures of me at the wedding. I mean,
he loved it. To be written things about him, mm-hmm. us saying that yes. he was doing...
What did you write?
Don wrote, your husband is getting a BJ right now.
And what did I write?
Mike, you wrote, I wish you were here and I wish we were effing.
What did Rob, the
master Tom Gavin wrote, hi, Jesse, I would, spelled W-O-O-D, like F-E-U.
That's Tom.
F-U-C.
Right.
With a Y.
Tom?
And Buzz writes, Jesse, I can satisfy you much better than Brian.
See,
and Rob A. writes, why are you at home dreaming sexual dreams?
Wow.
She loves him. And,
the novella over here.
Wow. And that was on ginger ale.
I saw a smile on your face, Buzz. You weren't drinking ginger ale.
Thank you, my friend. No, it was
no,
Rob.
Rob
was drinking ginger ale. Joe, did you realize that you were... bogarting someone else's calamari?
Oh, I thought it was Brad's. The waiter put it down, and Brad goes,
you want some?
I said, sure.
Yeah, it was. What time did you leave, Joe?
I got home about 12:45, so I guess about 12:15.
Okay, you could have played the game.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey, okay, my friend, thanks.
Hey, Mike, I wanted to thank you. I was hanging out with you in the back room until about 2 o'clock or so. There's Bill, me and my girlfriend were back there where you were... holding court with all of the...
Were you the guy with the hair that made it kind of a fat joke, and then I made a hair joke about you?
It might have been. You showed me a picture of your daughters on the...
My gym ID card.
Right. I got one question, though. When you gave me Don's home address, was that a 6 or an 8 on it?
funny man.
Thanks a lot. It was a lot of fun.
And you had a very sweet girlfriend. She was very, very nice, and you were all right.
Thanks.
See you later. Hello, Don and Mike show.
It was a 6.
Hello, fellas.
Hey, Robert.
How you doing?
Hey.
Now, listen, I'll tell you something.
Here's a guy that got enough to eat.
Robert.
Yeah. No thanks to you guys.
No, listen, here's the deal with Robert. At one point, towards the end of the evening, Robert, who was, of course, wearing an entire Los Angeles Lakers uniform, he had on... the jersey, maybe the tearaway pants. He had on a jacket. He had the sweatband on. He walks me behind a table where that area's been curtained off.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I kid all the time about, you know, I like the mobbed up look.
Right.
Well, Robert pulls the curtain back on these guys, and it really looks like there's some kind of mafia meeting going on.
Wow.
It does.
And Robert says, hey, I want you guys to meet my friend Don. And I started shaking hands, and then I realized that I was shaking these guys' hands. Robert, you didn't know those people, did you?
No. So my move was, when I found out that we weren't getting any food, I started to act a fool.
Well, the food came out later, right?
Yeah. Hors d'oeuvres, man. I didn't come all the way in town for horse doovers.
Well, that's what we normally do. That's what everybody has.
That's what we said, and I want to thank you for your greeting to me last night, Robert. That was just the fact that you were able to eat swordfish and grab your crotch at the same time, I thought was very endearing.
Did you see how many I ordered? I ordered 3.
Yeah, I thought it was only 2. Robert
I
had
ordering because I was hungry.
Yeah,
and I had me waiting there, so I said,
sure was.
I saw one waiter, swordfish. I saw another waiter, swordfish. Then the owner came over, and because the bouncer, wasn't it Vin Diesel and the other guy, the other black guy?
Right.
Yeah.
They were on the walkie-talkie. So as soon as they got on the walkie-talkie, the owner comes and says, can I help you? I'm like, look, there's supposed to be food out here. I'm effing hungry.
Robert, you...
Plus, I want swordfish, and I want extra potatoes, I want ketchup.
He's angry. He's angry.
And the guy, he got me 3 orders, and Buzz paid for the whole thing.
You're crazy.
Yeah, Buzz actually paid for Robert's
meal. You said food.
No, you
everybody
are...
Everybody was pissed off. I had to calm everybody down.
Oh, get out of here. We'll see you next Friday. Goodbye.
Hi, bro.
You're crazy. Take you are absolutely crazy. God.
They call it liberal white guilt.
He had 2 plates of food that were enormous.
Does the gratitude really make it all worthwhile for you guys?
Yeah, did he get a thank you, Buzz?
Yes, I did. He thanked me last night.
Hold on.
Great to see him.
See, what am I doing here? Love 5. Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Mike.
Yes.
Did you take your sleeping mask with you to the hotel?
You mean the
your oxygen mask?
No, you know, I need to give you an update on that.
Yeah, and
It's not doing it. The guy called me yesterday morning. The guy that sells me the thing, you know, hey, how you doing with that thing? And I don't even use it anymore because it hurts. It's like, you know, blowing this cold air into your nose. It's supposed to have a heater on it, but it's still cold air, and you know, but I still have it next to the bed.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Oxygen tank.
Hello,
hey, Don and Mike.
Hey.
I was there last night. I gave Mike the bumper sticker.
You know what I did? I left it in the hotel room.
I knew you were gonna. Oh.
I was sitting there, but in the condition I was at when I was leaving the hotel, and I got down in the elevator. I went, oh, I left it, and I didn't have my key because you know those plastic keys, and I didn't go back and get it.
Oh, that reminds me. I had some guy. You know, when you're doing something like this and you're meeting a lot of people, you lose track of who you're talking to, and at one point. A relatively normal-looking guy pulled me aside and said,
"Kiss me."
Now, he said, "Can I talk to you for a second?" I said, "Of course. That's why I'm here." Right. He said, "I got a bumper sticker for you." And he gave me a bumper sticker that said, "F Iraq, kill them all." And I said, "Well, that's a wonderful sentiment. I'll proudly put that on my car,
right.
And I put it in my inside pocket of my coat. Mm-hmm. And as I was walking away, the guy grabbed me by the arm and he said, no, really, really, I know that you are the only person that feels like I do. That really, we must do something now." I said, "Well, this isn't really the time to discuss it."
That's a little scary.
And they put me close, and he said,
"Didn't I see him on 24 with the bunker?"
No, he was an older guy.
Really?
This guy, he kind of looked celebrity. He most looked like, you know, the old guy on Chico and the Man.
Yeah, hey,
Zach
Chico.
Albertson.
Zach Albertson, Chico. Chico, go ahead. Put it out of your car, Don.
So he pulled me aside again, and he's another one that gave me one of his cards, and he said, "There are other people who feel the same way you and I do."
Ooh, and you kill everybody in the country?
No, kill Iraq.
Like everyone?
Yeah, just kill everybody. Yeah.
Does he understand that although I know you are, you know, you're a hawk, that when you make that statement, you are not necessarily being literal?
I tried to tell him that, and that got him mad.
Yeah, really?
I said, "Listen, I say a lot of stuff on the air that
right.
I really don't mean. I do think we should take some type of action against Iraq, but I really don't think we should just eradicate."
He legitimately thinks you should turn the entire country into a crater?
And he had literature. I mean, he started pulling out, like, internet stuff and saying, "You've got to read this right now. You got to read this." And I have to, Rob,
yeah.
What's the guy named, the black guy with the Brooklyn Dodgers jacket?
Oh, I don't remember his name.
I got to thank him because he saved me from this guy. He absolutely saved me from this guy.
A little scary?
Nice
yeah,
guy,
the nutty guy was like, "I have stuff from the internet.
Right.
You got to read this. You are the only person." And then he starts going to the list. "I've contacted everybody in media. Rush Limbaugh, Bill O'Reilly."
Oh, wow.
Wow, the guy was out of his freaking mind.
A little scary when you get everybody under one roof.
A little nutty. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hello.
Hey, hi.
Hey, I want to talk to Mike about his, he was saying, "Don, you have such great willpower and you can resist all the food." Mike, have you thought about going on that Atkins diet thing?
I've done it. I've done Atkins, and digestively it binds me up, sir. I think you know what I'm talking about.
Ah, man, I thought that was right up your alley.
Well, no, I did. I mean, I actually lost some weight on it, but I also know, I know a couple of friends of mine that have been on it, lost dramatic weight and gained dramatic weight back.
Really?
Yep. When you bounce, it's like anything. You eat the same stuff all the time, you're gonna get, you're gonna get your willpower. But I'm nobody to talk about diets. Trust me.
Yeah, I just thought since you're on the singles market, that might be.
Now, let me tell you something. The lamb chops were great, and you know, man of my carriage does just fine, sir.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, what's up, Don and Mike?
Hey, listen, Mike's not one to brag.
Yeah, I can't.
I don't want to tell tales out of school.
Right.
And, you know, I know he's got stuff he can't talk about, but let me just say this. I've heard through the grapevine, my man's doing okay.
Oh,
my man is doing okay.
Actually, I was doing okay, and I'm not doing okay anymore.
Huh. You're not doing okay anymore?
I remember I wasn't doing okay, then I was doing okay.
Yeah.
Now I'm not doing okay anymore.
You know, it's like the stock market.
Give me back. Yeah, absolutely.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Yo, Don and Mike, what's up? I'm the guy who came down from Hartford last night.
Hi. Yeah, I talked to you.
Yo, all right, so we...
You the guy that goes to Trinity College?
Yep.
Yep, I remember you.
Yeah, so we came down, and we were like, all right, might as well get some sushi now and eat, because the food wasn't coming out. We sit down, and Robert, you know, pops down right next to us, comes down...
tying napkins around his forehead like Tupac, sticking knives over at us while we're trying to eat our food. Then he gives us business cards for, you know what his new business is?
Lasagna.
He makes lasagna at home.
Yeah,
like Safeway brand, and then we'll deliver it to your house.
Yeah, well, you got to cut him some slack. He's Robert. We love him. Hi, Don.
I guarantee he's gonna. Robert's gonna be calling back in now.
Don and Mike, hello.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hi.
Hey, I was sitting there with those guys with Robert. It was hilarious. He's banging his fork and his knife against the table, screaming Attica, Attica, Attica.
Yeah. Yeah. Robert, he was.
The kids who were sitting next to us, there were three, I mean, they were kind of probably like 22 years old. One kid sits down, bangs the table, and knocks all the drinks onto his friend's lap. And he's completely soaked. It was hilarious.
Everybody was in different stages of happiness in that little shindig.
But there was generally happiness.
It was a really good crowd.
Not a lot of anger.
That is the third one. Is that the third one we've done?
Yeah.
It's the third one of these, and I'll tell you, it is fun to do because there always seems to be that good energy in the room. It's not, you know, some of our Las Vegas style shows, I mean, you know this. That was like a prison riot.
Well, people were prepared for, you know, live sex on stage.
Right.
Yeah, hello?
Hey.
Last call, we got a break. Hello, Don and Mike.
Sounds like Mike needs to get his stomach stapled.
Go to what?
I think he said you need to go to Staples.
Stomach staple.
Stomach staple. Hey, that's a thought.
Stable. All right. Clear the lines. No, and you know what? I'll tell you something. Not that Mike needs that.
No.
That's overrated because that guy Al Roker had his stomach stapled.
But he's still a tub of goo.
Look at him. He still is gigantic fat on television.
He needs to get his face stapled. He's all chin.
Yeah. I mean, how come he lost all that weight but he still got that jowl?
Skin. Excess skin. No longer filled with fat.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. Well, listen, it goes without saying thank you, everybody, for coming out last night. We're going to have another one of these events in the near future.
Oh, God, no.
And we're gonna do like we did before. We're going to start moving them around. And, Mike, very soon, say hello to Reno.
Reno. I love Reno.
Looks like Reno's going to step up. Let's get a call 100 now. And then we're going to go in different directions today because we've got a very busy show with a couple of new elements, and we're going to move some stuff around. So let's get a call 100 now. Try to give away $1,000, 877-365-3636. Call 100 gets a shot at the Secret Sound. We, of course, were out of the appearance last night. Didn't get to watch Wacko Jacko. I asked my wife about it, and she said, "You missed nothing."
Yeah.
She said,
what I'm
nothing.
Hearing, you know, I mean, even the guy was obviously buttering him up to get, you know, access, but you know, the facts really haven't
Michael
changed.
Controlled it, so it was a puff piece.
So listen, be the 100th caller right now for a chance at the money. I have to take just one more before the break. This cannot be true, Carl.
Yeah,
hey, Carl.
I mean, the guy was obviously
Carl. Yes. Buzz, this guy's calling. It says on the screen you were spitting at him.
No,
Carl.
Hello.
Certainly not on purpose.
Hello, Carl.
Cannot be true.
What a dumbass this guy is. Buzz, I hope you did spit on him.
Yeah, I'm starting to now.
Listen to this. Carl? Oh, he's gone.
That's not Carl anymore.
Oh.
No, the phone just didn't reset to clear the names. You see that no one's there now.
Oh, I got it.
What that guy was calling about was Buzz was talking to him and spitting on him the whole time.
Well, I was full of wasabi. What can I say?
All right. 100th caller right now gets a shot at $1,000. Good luck.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Is your relationship with my client entirely platonic?
Not! Is not your relationship with my client, point!
Dad, baby.
Did you ever not make love? Did you?
Mystery!
You had sex with her every time you met, didn't you? Didn't you? Liar!
He's badgering the witness.
It's his witness.
You slammed her, you dumped her donuts, you gave her dog a sausage. You stuffed her like a Thanksgiving turkey.
The Don and Mike Show.
They love the Arbotron. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Go ahead, be jealous, guys.
Yep.
Ask me what I'm doing tonight.
Hey, you're a lucky guy. I wish I was you.
What are you doing?
Yeah. Have an Alan Linewand over for dinner tonight.
Lucky guy.
Wow.
Because my wife just doesn't know when to stop. You know. We had the other guy over a couple of times.
I remember.
And look where he is now.
Yeah, that might, you know, Alan might want to rethink that.
speaking of that, at some point during today's show, a double dog dare. I will try to call Ken Stevens at home.
Cool. Very good.
I think you should.
See, just to see what's happening with our former leader.
How's he doing?
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi, am I caller 100?
Yes, you are. And what is your name?
Oh, wow. My name is Zorana.
Hi, Zorana. Where are you from?
I'm from Baltimore, Maryland.
All right. Zorana.
What a great name.
Zorana,
thank you.
You've won the Divid box set of 6 feet Under.
You could be a great dominatrix.
Get out of here.
The complete first season, Mistress Zorana.
You've said it already.
Now available in special Divid and Vizu sets. Available wherever Divids and Vizus are sold. Enjoy that from HBO. Now you're
great,
playing for $1,000 with a common sound. Here, your clues are... Sound was probably heard in homes during the blizzard of 2003, and I know this sound was heard in my home specifically during the blizzard.
Okay.
Play the sound now. Give you 15 seconds. Please don't answer till Mike sings like...
A Smash by Nelly again.
Nelly, 2 days in a row with a Nelly.
2 days in a row, Nelly.
We wish you Godspeed.
Caller, name this sound.
There. Well, hold on, where is it? There it is. That's the sound. I'll give you another clue. It could have been me making the sound. It could have been Frida making the sound. It's probably me, though.
H to the is O, B to the is A. Mo shizzle my nizzle used to dribble down in VA.
Yeah. And you mocked me when I enjoyed that song when that was out.
I thought I gave it justice.
Now, for $1,000, what is the sound?
I think it is the sound of a fresh bottle of liquor cracking open.
Oh, honey.
Oh, no. We're sorry.
Absolutely not. Thank you. And don't forget that every guest out is a clue for you.
Did she hang up?
No, that was someone else picking up the phone.
Oh.
Rob, give me a timpani before we get to the Friday favorite.
Just to alleviate calls that will come in, she wrote the wrong artist. That's supposed to be Jay-Z.
Oh,
not Nelly.
Not Nelly, it was Jay-Z.
See, now the cat's out of the bag.
I don't know that one. That's
written for me. I don't know them all by heart. Now my whole secret has been revealed.
All right, let's... give me 60 seconds on the clock.
I have a writer.
Give me 60 seconds on the clock. It's time to play Where Are They Now?
All right.
As I attempt to call Ken Stevens...
Oh, you're going
to
do this now?
Right now. 60 seconds. Just see if we come on the air with us.
Fair enough.
It's tricky. On.
You have to take it off the air, right?
Yeah, I will. Trust me, I will. Here we go.
Not like the old days.
Okay, so you cannot hear the telephone.
Right. Well, in the distance, I can't.
I hear it ringing. Uh-huh. Like, that would be they won't pick up.
Probably not, but maybe.
But we're trying to see what Ken is doing. Ken Stevens officially fired a couple of days ago. After 6 months of indecision. No.
Oh, no.
I'm getting the machine.
Yeah, we don't hear it now, so Don is up listening to a machine now.
Hey, if it's an urgent call... No, it's not an urgent call.
No
we don't need that.
Not yet.
Here we go, and... Hey, guess who?
Hello, Ken!
It's Don and Mike.
We wanted to get an update on you and see if you'd come on the show for, like, a final appearance.
Just wanted to see how you're doing. Wanted to say good luck.
And we wanted you to, you know, come on the show. We heard that you were moving out last week.
Last Friday you came in and cleaned out your office.
We're just checking up on you.
You know, no hard feelings that you backed the wrong horse. No hard feelings that you didn't stay with the guys who you'd worked with for 12 years, that you went with the flavor of the month, and now you're out of a gig.
Well, we want to find out what's going on with you.
No hard feelings.
No, none. None whatsoever.
And incidentally, we're having the line ones over for dinner tonight if you want to drop by.
There you go.
All right. Bye-bye.
The old regime and the new regime.
There you go. And...
Aha!
There you go.
Wow.
Well, Tune in on our next episode when we try to call former program director Jeremy Coleman.
Oh, that'll be good.
That won't be as nice as we would again.
Now, a Friday favorite. We normally do it later in the show, do it earlier today because we have other stuff going on.
It's time now on JFK with cash for you and me.
Can you imagine?
It's time for Don and Mike to play the budget jeopardy.
If you would have picked up the phone, wow.
Oh, my God, would that have been great? Listen now.
Hello.
The guy who's coming in...
I don't have much time.
He's got a movie coming out...
How are you?
...that's not even out for a couple of months, but if you've been in the theaters, you've seen the trailer.
It's another Stephen King movie. It's called Dreamcatcher.
It's based on the Stephen King book...
How are you?
...and it stars, of course, our favorite, Morgan Freeman.
I'm glad to be here. How are you?
I'm fine.
Have you been having a good time?
I'm having a good time.
Wonderful to see you, Rob.
I'm fine. Tonight...
As your whole crew.
Tonight I'm going to have some wine.
Wine? I like a fine wine. There's nothing quite like a fine wine.
I understand.
It tastes so yummy.
That last night, some people drank...
Are you yummy, Don?
Some people drank so much wine.
There was a great deal of wine consumed at the Acropolis.
They were almost blind.
Blind with wine. But having a good time, that is fine. That's what I always say. If you have time to have a good time, then you are just fine with me.
Hey, what's up with your skin?
My skin, I have skin tags, much like former program director, general manager Ken Stevens, and, well, there are these little bumps and spots that I have, but I'm not going to worry. I think it's just about time that I got them.
And I thought they were breckles.
They might be breckles.
Like black freckles.
There might be, you can call them breckles, I can call them bumps, moles, skin tags, abrasions, whatever you care to talk about. You know, I've had them for quite some time now, and I don't mind if you don't mind.
The thing about Morgan Freeman is, and I think you noticed this...
The thing about Morgan Freeman is that he has these things on his face, but they've only grown over time.
Whenever you start to sit down and chat with screen legend Morgan Freeman...
Uh-huh.
He immediately starts this long diatribe, and music comes out of nowhere.
Amazing. Don, is the music from a film I did years ago called The Shawshank Redemption, a movie I did with a very talented actor, Tim Robbins. And he played Andy Dufresne, and I had a great time making that movie. I was Red in that movie. You remember?
What? Yeah.
Red. That was
the character, right.
But what I like to do... I'll tell you what I enjoy doing. I really enjoy analyzing people because I know secrets about everyone that works on your staff, intimate secrets that no one else does because I've studied each and every one of your performers over time.
And, you know, if you watch the movie Along Came a Spider...
Along Came a Spider, I love Ashley.
Ashley,
she's so lovely. She has such a great body.
I don't know if she was in Along Came a Spider. She was in one of those other ones.
Many movies. I was in The Bone Collector.
The Bone Collector.
She was. I was in The Bone Collector with the lovely...
Angelina Jolie.
Angelina Jolie, who is just beautiful. She has a great body. I enjoy working with actresses that have firm, tight bodies. Tight makes right. That's what I've always said.
What's the thing with cowboy hats? You wear them in a lot of your movies. You're wearing a cowboy hat right now.
I like to wear cowboy hats. I like to break out of type. That's the most important thing when you're having a good time. I didn't wear a hat in Glory. You remember that movie?
Oh, with Matthew Broderick.
I did not wear a hat there. Well, I wore a little hat, one of those little hats with a brim. But I like to wear a cowboy hat, especially when I was working with Chris Rock when we were hitmen. Do you remember that?
Oh, and Nurse Betty.
Nurse Betty with a very, very nice Renee Zellweger. She had a very nice body. I love young, firm actresses with tight, ripe bodies.
Now, do you ever have relations with the co-stars? Oh,
I primarily fill the void of character actor. I don't mess around with the youngsters. It's not my time. Maybe at one time, it was my time. But now it is no longer my time.
And how's that disease that you had for a while? That thing you got in the woods, it was Lyme disease.
Well, the disease of the Lyme is very, very difficult to deal with. But I, over time, have been able to fight it. And now I believe that I've kicked it. And I think I'm going to live on this planet for quite some time.
And I know that you, for a long time, were doing those PSAs where you said, get checked for Lyme disease, because if you don't, it's a crime.
It's a crime if you don't check yourself for Lyme disease. And also, I was a spokesman for pork, the other white meat. because I dig on swine. I enjoy it. I do. I really do. And I had a very bad case of the swine flu, and that lasted a long, long time. Digestion is aided by enzymes. I don't know why I said that. I think
because it kind of rhymes.
Some sort of fat head held that up.
It kind of rhymes with time.
This
zyme.
Yes, zymes. But you know, Don.
Yeah,
we could talk about all my ailments and what I've dealt with over the years. But what I'd really like to do is talk about some people that work with you.
Oh, hold on. We have a correction that you were not in the bone collector.
I wasn't in the bone collector.
Seth?
Oh, no. I'm sorry, Mr. Freeman. You were not in the bone collector.
Let me tell you a story about my friend Mike. Mike was up very late last night, so you're going to have to go a little easy on him, and that's why. What was the movie that I was in? 07. That's what I was confused.
With Brad Pitt.
Brad Pitt.
With Mr. Pitt, yeah.
Right. Well, there's a fine line between those two movies.
Excuse me, Mr. Freeman.
Excuse me, loudmouth. I was wrong on my timeline.
Goodbye.
But you can blow it out your duke.
Now,
Thank you. What
you are best at...
This studio is filthy. It's covered with a thin layer of grime.
What you are best at is analyzing people.
Yes, I understand that. If I had a dime... For every person that I have analyzed over the years, I would be a very wealthy individual.
You ever thought of a mountain you'd like to climb?
I'd like to climb a mountain, and I'd like to climb a tree, preferably pine.
Swing from a vine?
On a vine and have some great times with all the good signs that are out there.
Would you climb a pine?
Grime, pine, line, brine, sign, grime, rhymes, pine, dime.
We're all playing that mind game right now. Yeah.
Mind, rhymes using your mind. Fine.
I'll pay you a dime.
Just fine. Give me a dime for what's on your mind. I like to analyze people. I'll analyze anybody you got here on the studio and the staff, anything like that. I've studied everyone. I've got dossiers. I brought in a briefcase that I'm going to open for you right now.
A valise?
It contains in my valise analysis of every individual that works on your show.
Well, I...
Good, bad, and ugly.
I'll throw myself out first.
I don't think so. We're going to save you for last.
Oh, we are? Okay.
Happens to be the best today.
Who are we going to be analyzing first?
Well, we could go through... we could talk about Buzz Burbank.
Oh, Buzz, who last night had the wasabi incident.
Yeah. Buzz Burbank. I never really knew who Buzz Burbank was, but I knew one thing. That boy had a soul as black as night. Buzz was always wearing tight clothing, and did he like the ladies? It was once said that Buzz Burbank bedded 43 women in one long and lustful night.
Night.
Yeah, Buzz liked it hot. His food, his wasabi, and his women. And if you didn't see Buzz coming, you were in for a world of hurt. The Buzz secret that nobody knew was that several years back, Buzz had indeed had surgery. But it wasn't the kind of surgery a man liked to talk about. Buzz had had surgery to have his penis enlarged.
He did.
When he got back to work with the bigger package, he was a changed man. Why, you couldn't leave your women around Buzz with his new big package. Because if you weren't looking, he'd use it. And he'd use it fast. And all that would be left would be a trail of tears and DNA.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
See, now, Buzz, this is almost like a private eye following you around.
A private eye. I am a private eye.
Spooky.
And don't forget that.
And you,
Damn it, man.
You often...
That's rage when I'm filled with rage.
Yeah. You often play private eyes, cops,
private
dicks for hire.
I'm typecast in those roles, but it's okay. I can handle that. And I like to stare, and I like to follow. And I like to put dossiers together in my valise and bring them out all the time for each and every one of you. Are you ready for someone else?
You name it. I mean, you got the order.
How about the two people that are a source of much controversy here?
Oh,
I'm talking, of course, about Lisa and Charlie.
Mm. You know, they were not at our Las Vegas now show. They weren't at the meet and greet last night.
Lisa and Charlie, up a tree. K-I-S-S-I-N-G. Lisa and Charlie were on the run. Lately, they've been prone to go missing for long periods of time. Why, just last night, they were no-shows at the latest Don and Mike meet and greet. Folks thought they just didn't want to be there. but I knew the truth. Lisa and Charlie were spying for the Iraqi government.
No, no way.
Yes, their cover was their romance, but in truth, they were business partners, selling government secrets to the enemies of the United States on a daily basis. Charlie would break into the government buildings, steal the documents, and Lisa would smuggle them to the enemy in her vagina.
Wow.
These two crazy kids had a one-way ticket to the federal penitentiary. Because any way you looked at it, Charlie and Lisa were going to do some serious, serious time. Thank you.
We know we had been wondering why they weren't at the appearance last night.
Yeah.
You know, I don't doubt the part about Lisa, but frankly, I've known Charlie a long time. I don't think he's quite bright.
Well, that's what everybody thought.
To be a spy.
He is a spy. Trust me, I've followed him. I know what he does. Break into his home. Check his documents. You'll see he is a spy. A spy of the worst kind. A spy that will do time. He will go to jail. At all. Well, I am not Morgan Freeman. Thank you. But at least you had Joe at your appearance.
Ah, sweet Joe. Joey Ardinger. Sweet, doughy-headed Joe.
Sweet, doughy-headed Joe Ardinger. Joe, so very slow. Severe brain damage had limited Joe Ardinger's ability to live a normal life. But he tried hard to overcome his challenges, and it was beginning to lead him to a normal existence. When Joe turned 40, he was then able to feed himself.
Hey, don't you think it's funny that he's a 40-year-old phone screener?
Well, he feeds himself now, mostly barbecued chicken. He kept himself relatively clean. And when the doctor finally got his medications, or farms, right, as Joe called them, Joe was even able to get a driver's license. Driving himself to and from work gave him a great deal of pleasure. The simple things he wasn't always able to do. Slow Joe was a hero to me because he took that damaged brain and did as much with it as he could.
Joe.
He was a fighter, and he was happy. Slow, doughy-headed Joe. I stand here and applaud you, Joe. I knew one thing about Joe.
What?
I liked him. Good man. Kudos to you, Joe Ardinger. I like Joe just about as much as I hated another man on your staff.
Well, now, you know, very weird the way you've been analyzing the people that work on this show. Buzz, yeah. You were rather complimentary in a roundabout way, saying you exposed his penis surgery.
Well, I will tell you that at the end of this segment, there's going to be a secret reveal that will rival anything you've ever heard on the Don and Mike show.
Wow.
A secret of biblical proportions. I'm not talking about that Joe Millionaire thing. That's nothing compared to what I will share with you, all of
really?
You. And but I'd like to talk about that boy in back of you.
Oh, Rob Spiewak?
Oh, Rob Spiewak. Oh, look at him. There was nothing to like about Rob.
Look at that great big head. You wouldn't think that the brain inside it was no bigger than an English walnut, would you?
As far as I'm concerned, he was a lily white, clan-loving, big-headed Nazi boy. He didn't make any secret of his feelings. He was a hater. And I didn't have any use for having him around. Yeah, Robbie would give me a smile, and I'd always know what was behind it. One thing. Cruelty. Rob would have been happy if the whole world was populated with little Robs. He didn't like anything different, and the more change he saw, the more he wanted people to die. Quick with a laugh and a smile, but I knew what he was really all about. I knew about his magazine subscriptions and the artifacts he liked collecting. I knew that he would send emails to people in his neighborhood that he didn't quite feel would fit in Rob's eyes. I know about his habit of putting on a Hitler mustache and dancing around his house in the wee hours of the morning. I wasn't the only one who was on to Rob. Why, he was so dangerous that he was being shadowed by the FBI.
FBI.
I. All the time. Each and every day. Beware, Rob Spiewak. I'm on to you and your hating ways.
Wow.
You're in trouble, boy. Big trouble.
You know, you're an amazing actor, and what you do this on the side, you do this
on the side. Yes, all the time I do it on the side. I do it. Live free or die. So I'd like a glass of whiskey, preferably rye.
Hey, you got.
I'm a nice guy.
You got me, and you got Mike.
How about some lemon lime soda?
Are you going to talk about Mike at all?
Yes, I could talk about Mike. I think I might have forgotten him, but we all know the story of Mike.
Well, do you want that, or you want to just move right to me?
I could do Mike before you. Yes, I could.
My friend, Mike O'Mara?
Mike O'Mara. An American tragedy.
Oh, God.
Meteoric highs. Deep, dark lows. Mike found solace at the bottom of a beer bottle, or a wine bottle, or a whiskey bottle. But what people really didn't know was Mike's secret that he has kept for years and years, the deep, dark one.
Is it the secret from last night, the fact that he wasn't drinking the beer that was sponsoring the event, and he was...
Oh, my God.
And he was actually pouring another beer into the bottle of the the brand that was sponsoring our event?
Yes, indeed, Don had discovered it as he saw Mike taking one beer bottle and pouring it into the other. Yes, he was pleasing the sponsor when, in fact, the whole time Mike was living and breathing a lie.
A beer lie.
An Amstel Light lie. That's right. That's what Mike was drinking all night long. Of course, later in the evening came other flavors. Vodka, whiskey, cigars, and... Of course, then the men. Yes, when Mike would get drunk enough, he would go for men. Lots of men. Tall men. Hairy men. But the lie was exposed by Don right here on this fine stage, on this fine program. Mike's beer drinking was a complete and total lie.
It was so funny because...
That was unkind.
Because, you know...
I'm going to resign.
Because no offense to our great sponsor, Miller Lite. Which is a great beer, yes. And a lot of us were drinking it last night.
He drank one of those, too.
Oh, I know. Mike did.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
But at one point...
Yes, he did, Rob.
We were about to go downstairs, and somebody said to Mike, you can't go down with an Amstel, because it's a Miller Lite thing, so...
That was young Brad.
Immediately. Right away.
Young, skinny, break over your knee like a twig, Brad.
That's where I said the light bulb went off and said... Bring me a bottle.
Skinny, useless, good-for-nothing Brad.
All right, I'm ready. How about me?
Don Geronimo. Oh, Don Geronimo. He was a hero, a national icon. Why, Don couldn't walk into a grocery store without being mobbed by rabid fans.
Yeah.
All of the men wanted to be like him. All of the women wanted to be with him.
Oh, ain't that true.
Don was a family man and a good father to his son, Bart. But there was another son Don didn't want anybody to know about.
Really?
Don would support him financially, and he would keep him close by. But I was the only one who knew about Tom Source. Or, as he was known around town, Tom Gannon.
Hey, that's cold.
People would always ask Don, why does he let Tom keep hanging around? Why wasn't he embarrassed by the monster boy with the cane balanced on his head? It was simple. Don just couldn't say no, because Don was Tom's daddy. And he loved that boy more than life itself. Nobody knew what was on the real birth certificate. Was it Tom Geronimo? Don Gavin? Or Tommy Joe Source. But there was no denying. They were father and son, and nothing was going to keep them apart.
Wow. F you.
The secret's out now. Secret is out.
Yeah, thanks.
Are you having a good time?
No, I'm not. You could have written almost anything else.
You know, it was a late night.
I know it.
It just came out of nowhere. Oh, man, I'll tell you right now. This cannot be denied. Fine. Yes, it's a relationship like a fine wine.
Check the DNA, I say.
Ah, the DNA. Yes, well... It'd be difficult to get that sample from Tom. All you have to do is rub his head.
Morgan?
Yes, Don, I'm over here now. I'm over here now. Now I'm over here.
Morgan,
hi,
we are.
Lady. Hide and seek Morgan.
We are going to play low budget Jeopardy here.
I'm under the table now.
I think we need a couple of callers to play this game, right?
Could I have a piece of candy?
Phone number 877-365-3636.
That would be dandy.
Or you could call 202-432-1067.
Watch me hide.
Or you could call 800-636-1067.
I'm a kitty cat.
Or you could just cut through it all and just call us at home and set something up before the show.
You're having a fine time with your new phones, aren't you?
Oh, do you like it? And you know the best thing about these phones?
Tell me.
So many lines.
Line after line after line. Fantastic. It's just like the 80s. That was a cocaine joke.
We'll take the first two callers to play Jeopardy.
I never had time for that.
We'll be right back.
Fine.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
This is Alice Cooper, and I wouldn't be caught dead listening to Don Geronimo or Mike O'Meara. They make me sick.
The Don and Mike Show.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Where are the stars of this piece of sh**?
They use the hair for protection. Don and Mike.
We're playing a little bunch of Jeopardy here with Morgan Freeman.
Hi, how are you, Don?
Now, this movie, I read the Stephen King book that the movie's based on.
Dreamcatcher.
Yeah. The movie looks very similar to the way that the book was written.
Well, I've had a wonderful time making the film. And I hope you go enjoy it, and I hope you have a good time watching it. I think you're going to like it. I think you're going to like it a great deal.
I heard when you met with Stephen King...
Yes.
Did you enjoy some chicken wings?
Chicken wings with Stephen King.
Wings with King?
Wings with King. It was fine. Did you just make that up?
Yeah, we just... You know, I'm just going...
Are you on a rhyming kick? Is that what we're doing now?
Well, I know that normally...
I'll tell you, the rhyming kick normally makes me sick. So please, don't be a...
Brick?
Yes, I'm fine.
Okay, let's
just
play the game.
Fine.
Let's play the game.
Let's play the game. It's always the same. It's lots of fun to play the game. Let's not make it lame.
That's how it started with time.
Time rhyme.
Time rhyme.
Boat float. Float. We're having a good time, aren't we?
Let's play Low Budget Jeopardy. Morgan Freeman, tell us who we have on the phone.
This is Low Budget Jeopardy. Now, entering the studio is a tie-dye guy from Las Vegas. Let's say hi to Scott Savage.
Hold on, let me pull him up on the...
I make ties, too. That might be the prize.
Hi, Scott.
Hey, Perfect. Hi. How you doing, LQ Freeman?
And now entering the studio is a student bartender. Does that mean she's a student and a bartender, or does that mean she's the student of the bartender arts? We'll have to find out. She's from Peru, New York. I've never heard of Peru, New York.
Me either.
Let's say hi to Christy Tomlin.
Hello, guys. Lord Quizmaster, Morgan Freeman.
She's from Peru. Maybe she's got a nice hairdo.
I went to Peru and got the flu.
I saw Scooby-Doo in Peru.
Sorry, I'm effing up the bill.
That's all right. That's all right. Let's not fight.
We had a late night.
That's all right. Now entering the studio is the host of Low Budget Jeopardy. Please, Christy and Scott, don't screw.
Don't screw.
With LQ.
Oh, no.
And say hi to Alex Trebek Geronimo.
Thank you, Morgan. And
thank you.
Thank you, guys. Here are your categories on Low Budget Jeopardy. They are Oscar, Oscar, Oscar.
I'm familiar with that category.
Name that NBA arena.
Yes, very, very complicated.
Celebrity bra sizes.
I like a great brassiere.
Facts for 2002 from Harper's Index.
You're educating again, Donald.
And new on Divid and Home Video.
These sound like tough categories.
So we've got Oscar, Oscar, Oscar. Name that NBA arena. celebrity bra sizes, facts about the USA from 2002, and new on Divid and Home, Claudio Crispi. You're a girl. We do like girls better than boys. We'll start with you.
Well, I would love to take celebrity bra size, please, Lord Quizmaster.
Fine. Teats.
Ah, yes. Lovely teats. Round, fun teats. Don't we all like them?
For one.
Squeezing.
She was on the show just yesterday. Our friend, TV's Leah Remini.
Christy.
Yes.
Are you there? It's time for you to ask the question.
Right, Leah Remini.
What is size C?
A-da.
I'm sorry, that was incorrect. Scott, your chance to steal.
What is 36C?
No.
Oh.
Negative. Leah, and I know this, I've been through her laundry, 34B.
Big, veiny orbs. Not hers, of course. I'm talking about the kind that I like. Veins. I like big veins. And I just can't lie.
Keep fucking control.
Let's stay with that category, LQ.
All right. Star of Alias, also star of Daredevil, Jennifer Garner.
36C. What is 36C?
That was not in the form of a question.
Christy from Peru. Scott, your chance to steal.
Well, I will say, what is 36C?
No. She's a 34C.
Veins and scattered hairs. All right, Christy, you're in control. It's your time.
Let's finish out that category.
All right. From Everybody Loves Raymond, Doris Roberts.
Wow. That's
what
my kind.
What is a 42DD?
No.
Negative.
Scott, your chance to steal.
What is 44D?
Ready for a shock? 36DD.
I would have gone for a 46 long.
I think you might have seen the veins and the hair you were looking for.
Scattered hairs, not all clumped together now. All right, Christy, you're in control, and no one has any points. We're not having a fun time.
Yes, we are.
Christy, you're in control. Wake up, Christy from Peru. You're misty, Christy.
For 2002.
All right, now, there's this book called Harper's Index, and every year they send us a copy. Everybody in the media gets a copy with facts about the United States for the previous year. So, for instance, here's your first question. This state had the highest number of teenage pregnancies in 2002.
Oh, well, that has to be. What is New York?
No.
Scott, your chance to steal. Perhaps Peru. All right.
What is California?
No, guys, come on. Teenage pregnancies? Hello, Mississippi, number one.
Mississippi. The fine state of Mississippi, where everyone doesn't wear a condom.
How do you spell that?
Mississippi. All right, Christy, you're in control.
Can we try that category again, please, Lord Quizmaster?
This state had the highest voter turnout in the 2000 presidential election.
What is Florida?
Scott, your chance to steal.
What is Texas?
Negative. Maine.
Wow.
Maine.
Wow.
Maine.
All right, Christy, you're in control.
Can we try the Oscar category, please? Oscar.
No, honey. You got to finish out the one you're on.
Okay, I'm sorry.
All right. There you go. Thank you for three. This state has the highest number of criminals in prison. More guys and gals in prison than any other state in 2002.
What is Arkansas.
No, you're incorrect, Christy. Scott, your chance to steal.
Let's try, what is Texas?
No.
No, California.
California, and still, Christy and Scott do not have any points. Now, come on now, try. Try,
focus.
Damn you, try.
Focus.
Christy.
How about Oscar?
Oscar, how about it? Oscar. Obviously, this is about the Oscars, the Academy Awards. This musical has the most nominations overall.
What is Chicago?
My God. A point. You've gotten a point. Scott, your chance. Oh, I'm sorry. Christy, you're still in control.
I'd like to stay with the category, please.
Nicolas Cage was nominated for his role in this non-hit movie. Very good movie, though.
Hmm.
Scott, your chance to steal.
What is I Don't Have a Clue?
That would be adaptation.
Adaptation. I was not in it. All right, Christy.
Well, let's try that Oscar one more time.
Meryl Streep broke this actress's record for Oscar nominations.
Who is... I don't know.
Scott, your chance to steal.
Who is Katharine Hepburn?
There you go.
They will both be going to the final round. Scott has points.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, trust me, folks, these are not Rhodes Scholar questions.
I think you're being enormously fair.
These are like Entertainment Tonight questions.
And Scott, you're in control.
Let's try new on DVD for one, LQ.
New on DVD. You're going to love this. Stars Vin Diesel.
What is Triple X?
Right.
$1, Scott moves into the lead.
I was in the lead.
That's right, you were. You're thinking. That means you're focused. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Smart ass. All right, go again.
For two.
For two.
Stars Robin Williams.
What is 1 hour photo?
Now.
$2, and now he's beginning to mop the floor with young Christy.
Let's finish it for three.
Stars Julia Roberts. Yeah.
What is...
Christy, your chance to steal.
What is The Hours?
Oh,
no, not on DVD. It's just gotten out in the theaters.
Oh.
Full Frontal.
Full Frontal.
Full Frontal.
Do you see her, Full Frontal?
Nice bush.
I don't think so.
I'd love to see those teats. I would. Please.
What about her bush?
No, just the veins. All right, Scott, you're in control.
I don't think Julia Roberts has veins on her boobs.
They all do. You have to know where to find them.
Oh, God.
All right, Scott, you're in control.
Name that NBA arena for one.
All right, the final category on the big board, home of your Los Angeles Lakers.
What is the Staples Center?
All right, we'll give it to you. You kind of stumbled through it, but yes.
Got excited. I knew that one.
$1 for you. Okay, you're in control, Scott.
4-2.
Home of your Sacramento Kings.
What is...
Christy.
What is the... I have no idea.
Right. Arco Arena.
Arco. Fantastic. All right, Scott, you're in control.
Let's finish the board with three.
All right, final question on the big board. Home of your Indiana Pacers.
No idea.
Christy, how about you? Chance to steal, Christy.
I'm not a basketball fan.
Right. Not a fan of much based on this game. Pacers play at Conseco Fieldhouse.
Named after Jose Canseco.
No, I still think it's a bank, I think.
Oh, I understand, Don.
We're done with the game.
That is the end of the first round. Now we're going to the final round.
Now who's got one here, Morgan?
Scott finishes with $7, and Christy over here has only got $1.
All right, well, you're hanging by the skin of your teeth, but you both get to play. We physically force you both to bet it all. Good luck. Here's your category. Mojo, baby, that's the category. And here's the answer. She was known as Mojo on Joe Millionaire before he rejected her. Your final low-budget Jeopardy answer is Mojo's real first name. All right, you got that? On Joe Millionaire, she was Mojo.
Got it.
He kicked her out. This is a real first name. Kids, don't forget, answer in the form of a question, and good luck.
This is Morgan Freeman reminding you that all contestants on Low Budget Jeopardy will receive a collection of my handmade ties. I use an interesting collection of dyes to make my ties, and then before I dry them, I soak them in brine and some white wine, which really makes them shine. Try my ties and have a good time, because it's no lie, my ties look just fine and will fill you with a great deal of pride. Now back to Final Low Budget Jeopardy with Alex Trebek, the Runner Bull.
It's time now on JFK with cash for you and me.
Okay, here we go. I know we want to go to Christy first, right?
Only has $1, the poor girl.
Christy on Joe Millionaire. Mojo was cut loose. Her real name.
Daphne?
Pardon me?
Who is Daphne?
Daphne is the name of Niall's girlfriend on Frasier.
But that was a fine try.
No.
Thank you.
Sorry, you are. SOL. Okay, now let's see. Scott If you have the answer, you are the big wiener.
I am the big wiener. Who is Melissa Joe?
Melissa, yes, Melissa Joe. Melissa Joe.
That means Scott Savage, you are the low budget Jeopardy champion.
All right, Morgan.
That looks Scott. Yes, you are the winner. And Christy, don't go away mad. Just go away. Let me see. We have money for you, Scott. Prizes for you, Christy. And now to tell you all about it, here is Morgan Freeman.
Thank you. Well, Scott, you've accumulated some amount of money. Are you interested to know what you've accumulated?
I cannot wait to hear, Mr. Freeman.
UW scored $14.
Good Lord.
We throw in a $25 bonus, making your grand total $39.
Not bad for a few minutes' work.
Isn't that fine?
Now put a sock in it. And Christy, are you there, my dear?
I'm here, Mr. Freeman.
You shouldn't be too disappointed because you've won prizes.
I have.
You've won a DVD box set of Six Feet Under, the complete first season, now available in special DVD and VHS sets. Available wherever DVDs, videos are sold. But wait.
There's more.
You've won an Ultimate Fighting Championship jacket, courtesy of Comcast and Cox Cable. Don't miss UFC 41 Onslaught live on Friday, February 28th. Only on pay-per-view. Thank you, Christy, and have a fine time.
Mr. Freeman, thank you.
Thank you for calling me Mr. Freeman.
Thank you. Thank you both. Have a great weekend, and thank you for listening. And, well, Morgan, always great to have you on the show. And I know whenever that Stephen King movie comes out, you're going to be back again. Dream what?
Catcher.
When that thing comes out, you'll be back on the show, right?
Yes. Scott was hot. Christy was not.
Thank you, Morgan Freeman. Always remember and never forget. Low Budget Jeopardy is a production of
Morod Incorporated and is distributed by King World. I'm going to walk on out of here. Check out my fish ass.
There he goes.
He's got a commanding presence, doesn't he?
Great Morgan star. Freeman, yeah.
Wow.
Loves the rhyming stuff.
He does. He gets into it.
It all started with the time.
Yes. That's how it works.
The time.
Yes, indeed.
Okay, when we come back, you know, we review movies that we haven't seen.
Yeah. Right.
We do that because the guy who used to review movies, what the hell? Oh, excuse me, I burped. I'll tell you after the break.
See, it's not that involved, but it's involved enough where you got to kind of set the table.
We're going to still review movies we haven't seen. Then we're going to bring a guy in who wants to take the place of the last guy who didn't like doing the job because like, we kidded him about touching kids.
Right.
Okay? We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I'm sorry, but we're not supposed to put butter on the milk duds.
You're not supposed to go to the bathroom without washing your hands either.
Touché.
To the top, please. Swim, my pretties.
The Don and Mike Show.
They're dope on the floor, and they're magic on the mic. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Let me tell you that next week on the show, it's the Return of Scoop Trivia.
All right.
However, are you ready for, we've never done this before, Husbands and Wives.
Yeah.
Strip trivia.
Very good.
As we give away a trip for two to the Caribbean.
Ooh.
Courtesy of I'm a Celebrity, get me out of here. Celebs. That's using that word very liberally.
Yeah, really.
Compete for food, water, and clothes, and you decide who wins and wines. Final episode of I'm a Celebrity, get out of here airs tonight. Is that right?
Hey, check your local listings for time and channel.
On ABC TV. Anyway, they've given us a trip to the Caribbean. We're playing strip trivia with married couples.
Wonderful. Hmm.
Next week on the show. If you will allow me just 1 second to brag, because I went to the College of Life.
The School of Hard Knocks.
School of Hard Knocks. Mm-hmm. And I am not a college graduate. I never went to college like everybody else here. And I'm very proud of my kid, who was accepted to Clemson University. We announced that a while ago. And now the other schools are starting to pour in.
Mm-hmm.
And today we got the word that
He got accepted to Penn State.
Wow.
Yeah!
So,
way to go, Dad. Good job, Bart. Way to go.
So he's got lots of, and lots more on the way in.
I'm
so,
sure. That's cool. That's good school. That's fantastic.
No, sure, I bet on where he's going to college now.
Wow. That is neat.
But,
that is neat.
I couldn't be prouder of him, and sure didn't get it from me. Now, movies.
Yes.
And us reviewing movies. Here's the deal. For years we had this guy, and I'm still very fond of him, and I know you guys are too,
yeah.
Charlie Stossel. Chuck Stossel, the love muscle.
Right.
He would come in and review movies, and frankly, his taste in movies...
Fag!
Was, that's the only word to describe it, was fag.
If it was animated, he was digging.
And it was a movie like Sweet Home Alabama with Reese Witherspoon. He'd give it 4 stars.
We had fun with Charlie. We really had a lot of fun. And yeah. Charlie developed kind of a cult following with these individuals that would... Well, the cult following was so that they could hate him.
Well, a lot of guys in jail wrote mail to Charlie. And a lot of them drew comic books with pictures of Charlie.
Great.
And
that's Clint Howard.
Charlie one time came on the show and told us about some kid that he was involved with through one of his girlfriends.
Mm-hmm.
That was something about Charlie.
He was kind of mentoring, you know.
Yes. His ex-wife left him for another woman.
Mm-hmm.
So he was carrying that burden around. And of course, we knew about that. We talked about that. And then we started to kid Charlie about his relationship with the young boy of his current girlfriend.
It was always very lighthearted. It was never based on any facts or seriousness. We just did it, and it was goofy, but it pushed a button.
Do you remember the one event that really sort of soured the whole thing? Is when Charlie was a guest on Jeopardy.
Ah, that's right. When I did an impersonation of him.
And then I got to have a meeting.
And it was like completely like...
Yeah, it was like Charlie.
Hello there.
Smiling.
Then I got to have a meeting with a guy the next week, and he's like, I don't know if I want to be on the show anymore. I said, come on, please, we're just goofing. Yeah. Everybody takes it on the show. Everybody gets kidded on the show. So then his deal was, okay, well, I'll come on the show, but I'll only review movies. And no more talking about me and boys in bathtubs.
And he was bigger than the movie reviews because, you know, part of his whole persona was that he would get this mail. And it was a joke, but it just, you know, it got too much for him.
And he wanted to really just come in and review movies.
Right.
And frankly, well, he gave us the TPS, the tedious plot summary.
Oh, I hated that. And, that's the one thing I really didn't like about him.
And I still consider Charlie to be a friend.
He's a good guy. He's a very nice guy. He's done a lot for us over the years.
It just didn't work out.
Yeah.
And he's like an oldies 100 now. And that's one good thing about this show, is that if you've been on this show, on the Don and Mike show, at least in the Washington area,
mm-hmm.
once you're off this show, you can go somewhere else, and they'll still think you're worth something because you used to be on our show.
Right. I sure hope so.
And Charlie Stossel is on Oldies 100 now, and I told you a couple of weekends ago, Free and I were in the car, and we turned on Oldies 100, and they had a promo with the guy and the girl morning show.
Right.
And I was like, hey, what are you going to be doing this weekend, baby? And she says, gee, I don't know, maybe we'll go to the movies. And the guy says, yeah, don't forget our movie, man. Charlie Stossel said, 10 ways to lose a guy is his top pick. 3 stars. Right away, as that, you know, that's why...
That's a Charlie pick right there.
That's why we had to lose this guy.
Yeah, but that's also why we liked having him around.
Because
it was funny to bust his balls on that, but he just couldn't handle it.
And he wanted out, and so he's gone. So now there's a guy, he's a weatherman on Channel 7.
Well, we've known him for a number of years.
And he's also a part-time movie reviewer.
Mm-hmm.
He wants the gig.
Hmm.
Now, frankly, I'm very comfortable with Mike and I reviewing the movies we haven't seen. I think we've got it down to a science.
Right.
Really,
yeah.
A lot of times you learn more about the movies from us than you will from these guys that have actually seen them. So let me just say up front, and don't bring Kyle in yet, that when he finally gets here, his audition today will have nothing to do with reviewing movies.
Right.
It will simply be the Inquisition
mm-hmm.
to find out how much he can take.
Oh, excellent. Now, does he know that?
Yes.
Very good.
Charles Broyhill, who is our producer, has told him that you can expect
to be linked to any number of different
fetishes,
fake or real right. groups. You could be aligned with anything.
Mm-hmm.
You just got to be willing to go for it.
Mm-hmm. So. And, you know, and it's not like we force it. It's stuff that just comes up. It's something where we'll get on a line of comedy, and it'll be attaching him to something. It's not like we sit there and we're going to throw things out at this guy.
No.
It's based on what he says that, you know, if he says something that's interesting and we run with it, that's what happened with Charlie.
Yeah.
All Charlie was talking about the fact was that he took care of this boy.
Oh, and don't forget also that he used to wear these tight bicycle shorts.
Oh, he
all
used to wear
time
camp counselor shorts, he said.
When he would come in to do his movie reviews.
And he also collected figurines.
And we know that because one time we were at his office at the movie theater.
He like got all these Dalmatians on his
We walked in. It was like walking in to a six-year-old girl's bedroom. And he got so pissed.
He hated that.
Yeah.
When Mike and I were looking at all of his Hercules dolls.
Right, right.
So anyway.
So I don't know if Kyle's going to be as gay as that.
Well, this guy Kyle says he wants to do the job.
Uh-huh.
But before we bring him in, I do think at least a couple of the movies that are out now deserve our touch because we have been touched by God.
Amen, brother.
God said to me and Mike, you guys are going to be pretty much schmucks, except for the fact that you're going to have the vision to review movies that you've not seen yet.
Right.
Since the last time we did this bit, we have the following movies. Daredevil, Old School, The Life of David Gale, which is the Kevin Spacey movie, Gods and Generals with Robert Duvall, and Dark Blue with Kurt Russell. Now, in the full-page ad for The Life of David Gale, the guy that we're going to bring on here in a second, Kyle Osborne, he has a quote.
Mm-hmm.
Which leads me to believe the movie probably sucks.
Oh,
if Kyle Osborne from Channel 7 is giving it a quote.
Right, well, we'll see what he has to say.
So we're going to review a couple of the movies ourselves, and we'll bring Kyle in for the third.
Very good.
And we're going to give him 60 seconds, like we do with ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll submit him to some questioning and see if you guys like him.
Very good.
Let me see. Mike, how about we do Daredevil?
Okay.
Old School.
Mm-hmm.
And then either Gods and Generals or Dark Blue.
Very good.
You know, I know that we're probably going to agree on Old School.
Maybe not.
Maybe not?
Yeah, I got a feeling.
Well, let's start.
You know, this is all subjective, and it's a touch by God stuff, so, right. You know.
Let's start with Daredevil.
Okay.
Okay, because I know what you think I'm going to say, and I might surprise you.
Go for it. You start with Daredevil.
All right. Daredevil by Don. I love my comic books. I read Daredevil comics when I was a kid.
Stan Lee, right?
Right. I love the premise. He's a blind guy. He's a lawyer, but he has heightened senses. He's like Spider-Man almost, that you would see the little squiggly lines go away from his head when you could sense something happening. I have not seen the movie Daredevil. It's been out for a week. I will not see the movie Daredevil. There are a couple of reasons. First, it looks like an absolute ripoff of The Matrix. I'm so tired of seeing guys go backwards and seeing bullets go by in slow motion. And I'm sorry, but there is the AA in DD. The Affleck effect in Daredevil. I'm sorry. I don't get it. Ben Affleck is not the next great thing. And I love comic book movies, but Daredevil to me looks like it sucks ass. I know it made $47 million, but what can I say? What else is out there? I'm not going to see Daredevil. I am looking forward to Hulk. Do you want to do Daredevil?
Yep.
All right. You're on.
Daredevil by Mike. This is a recurring theme that I go back to time and time again. Hollywood, please, some originality, some original idea, another goddamn comic book hero movie. It is boring. It just gets tedious. Come up with new characters. How about some new heroes that we can create? Then you can have your sequels that you like to do so much. And Ben Affleck, I have never considered Ben Affleck anything other than Matt Damon's butt boy since he broke on the scene. I will tell you right now, I don't like Ben Affleck. I think he's lucky that he's got this romance with J-Lo because that's keeping him in the spotlight. I never thought that he was a fantastic actor. And this movie, you know, combining the fact that it's, you know, this overused comic book theme with Ben Affleck, who I never considered to be a preeminent actor, this movie is an enormous thumbs down for me. It would be a yawn fest, and I will take your thought about the Matrix effects, which I also am tired of. I mean, it seems like everybody's doing it both in comedies and dramas. Thumbs down to Daredevil.
I mean, really, it ain't no Spider-Man.
And Spider-Man, as much as I don't like those kind of movies, I love Spider-Man.
All right, Old School is next. Are you ready?
I'm ready. I'll start with it. Can I start with this one?
No, your turn. Go ahead.
All right, Old School. I've gone back. I've gone forth. I've wavered on this movie. I got a theory about hit comedies, smash hit comedies, and I hope I'm wrong, but it seems to me when there's advanced hype on a comedy movie that it's not always living up to that, and I'm worried about Old School not doing this. I've seen the trailers, and I think they are brilliant. I think they're hysterical. When they have the trailer about this movie being nominated for Academy Awards, I laughed my ass off. And I love the part about, what's his name, Will Ferrell getting the dart.
Equalizer dart.
I mean, that looks funny. I worry that that's maybe the highlight, the comedy highlight. And if that's the case, the movie's going to be a disappointment. But I've heard good things. But unfortunately, all the way I feel about the advance hype of this movie and the Will Ferrell factor, and I've never been a big fan of his, I can't give this a ringing thumbs up. I'm going to give this right in between. I'm going to sit right on the fence because I will go see this movie because I hope that it's a hit, but I'm worried about it. I think it might get some, it's getting a little too much hype in advance.
Mm. All right, I'm just waiting for the timer to queue up.
Very good.
Because I do have an opposing view. Come on. I'm ready. Old School. Here we go. Old School by Don. Yes, there's a lot of hype for this movie. Because there hasn't been a real funny movie, really, since There's Something About Mary.
Right.
And if I was in the studio and I thought, wow, you know what? We've got a really stupid, dumb, funny movie.
Mm-hmm.
I would do what they were doing. I would market the crap out of it. I'm with you. I don't like Will Ferrell.
Right.
But the scenes I've seen...
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The trailers are great.
Look pretty funny. I like Vince Vaughn. And I'm going to say that Old School is probably going to be the funniest movie since... What was the last great... The last
Something About Mary was the last really super smash comedy.
It won't be in that category, but it's going to be...
Meet the Parents would be up there, too, but not as good as Something About Mary.
Meet the Parents is a totally different genre.
Right. Yeah, and Meet the Parents not the same... It's a great movie, great comedy, but...
Let me just say this. Old School, it's like a Tom Green movie. Here's what I think. It's a Tom Green movie... Without Tom Green, which means it has the potential to be good.
Mm-hmm.
So I say yes on Old School. We have two left, Dark Blue and Gods and Generals. You want to do 30 seconds on each?
Yeah, Gods and Generals is that a Civil War?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, we'll do 30 seconds on each one?
Yeah.
All right, which one do you want to do?
Dark Blue, I guess.
Okay.
All right. I got thoughts on both of them.
All right. Yeah.
Why don't we just do 60 seconds on both?
All right.
Ready?
Yep.
Let's go. Gods and Generals. I'll keep mine brief, Mike. Jesus Christ. Enough about the Civil War. You couldn't pay me to go see this crap. Put it on TBS. Mike.
Gods and Generals is the one of two movies coming out starring Robert Duvall that I would go see. I love Robert Duvall, especially I think he's playing General Robert E. Lee. I'm pretty sure that's who he's playing in this movie. I don't know a lot about it, but I think that's what it is. If that's the movie we're talking about, I'd just love to see Robert Duvall play one of the great historical figures of America.
Don't forget the Ted Turner factor, though.
There's a Ted Turner factor, but I tell you, Robert Duvall, man, I mean, any actor that's as great as he is, I can watch him in anything. I'm worried about this other movie that's involving the tango that he wants to do that's coming down the road. I'll have thoughts on that. But Gods and Generals would be, of the two movies, the one that I would really want to see Robert Duvall in.
Civil War, I know how it ends. I would go see Dark Blue before I see Gods and Generals because I'm a huge Kurt Russell fan. I like Ving Rhames. I know it's a shoot 'em up. It's a buddy movie. It's the black guy and it's the white guy together fighting, but
I like both of those actors.
I like Kurt Russell also. This movie is playing against, kind of against type. He's played bad guys before. He's played tough guys before, but in this movie, he plays a bad guy who's going to be kind of going against Ving Rhames. And it looks like it might be an interesting premise, and I think Kurt Russell is somebody that's demonstrated that he plays against type. He'll take some chances, and I think this has potential to be a surprise movie.
So let's see. Daredevil? Surprising, you might be surprised. We both agree, no way.
Right.
Old School, Mike says maybe. Mm-hmm. I say, oh yeah. Gods and Generals, Mike says, yeah. I say, no effing way. Dark Blue, we're agreed.
Both thumbs up on that one.
Yeah, that'll be okay. All right, now let's wheel in from Channel 7. Weatherman Kyle Osborne.
Kyle's probably been pretty busy of late.
Yeah.
With all the weather.
No doubt.
There he is.
He got a lot of FaceTime during the blizzard.
Hi, Kyle. How are you, buddy? How's it going?
Hi, buddy. All right, Kyle. First off, how did you get a quote in the giant full-page ad for The Life of David Gale?
What they do is, on Friday, if they don't have anything good, they use quotes from hacks, generally. And I'll be honest with you, the other people on there that you see listed, who is it? Rob, you have that?
No.
These are hacks. These are people you never heard of, from Indianapolis and Memphis and stuff like that. Although, I'll tell you, every now and then I've been quoted alongside Roger Ebert.
That's got to be fun.
Every now and then.
That's cool.
Of course, his byline's a little bigger than mine.
Mm-hmm. All right, tell us just real fast, did you like them or did you not like these movies? Daredevil, like it or not?
Didn't see it. Didn't like it.
Okay, Old School.
Okay, very good.
Saw it, liked it a lot.
Gods and Generals.
Wow.
Dark Blue.
Didn't see it, liked it.
Life of David Gale. Now, your quote in the full-page ad says,
provocative.
Provocative. Kyle Osborne, ABC TV, provocative.
I'm going to ask a serious question about this movie, because this movie, what I've heard, It hums along, and then it just limps to the finish line.
Untrue.
Okay.
Actually, the opposite.
Really?
It kind of, at first, it's real kind of left the center, heavy-handed, and you're like, these Hollywood wimps, will they shut up about the death penalty? And then what happens is it kind of turns into a popcorn thriller with about 2-3 surprise twists at the end, and that's really what saved it for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I gave it a B+. I liked it.
All right, of all the movies out this weekend, which one do you recommend that our listeners should go see?
If I'm recommending to your listeners...
Okay. Come on.
I'm playing. I kid. I love.
I kid because I love.
I do. Old School, hands down, is the Don and Mike show.
I've heard a couple of people say this Old School. Who was saying it the other day?
Mr. Skin.
Just short of an Animal House.
Yeah.
I mean, is it that?
Hey,
is it that good?
What about for the other people who bathe regularly?
Well, Life of David Gale's a good thing, to go out with, a companion or something like that.
Right,
by the way, Mr. Skin, sorry to interrupt, he kind of oversold the nudity thing yesterday, and I love Mr. Skin, I listen to him on your show all the time, but I don't want anyone to be misled. If you're going there for the nudity, it's brief flashes. The whole thing with the KY Jelly wrestling thing is a letdown, and I'll tell you why. For some reason, it comes off as liquid and not gel, and I thought that made a difference in terms of how interesting that scene.
He likes being here. He couldn't say that on Channel 7.
Now, Kyle, if you were to come in every Friday and give us these reviews of movies, and somehow the topic got on, well, here was a Stossel hot button.
Okay,
that he would get mail from guys in jail. They would want to make love to him and would write very, very graphic novels to him.
Right,
and
right.
We would read these to Charlie, and he would be upset. How would you feel, Kyle, about inmates around America writing you love letters?
Let me tell you something about how comfortable I am with my masculinity, Don.
Yes.
I'm a gay man magnet. My whole life, I've been approached by guys, and this is how comfortable I am. I'm cool with that. If people want to write me love letters from
your whole life, you've been approached by gay men.
I have been.
That's interesting.
Now, there's never, and I can raise my right hand. There's never been any contact.
Has Doug McElway hit on you?
I've only met him a couple of times. Nice looking guy.
Mm-hmm.
Nice looking guy,
yeah.
Doug McElway.
So you would be comfortable. And now, I think because we've even said this, that in and of itself would motivate certain incarcerated individuals to send a letter.
And Robbie, give me our sexy music, please, for a second, because I'm going to give out our address. It's appeal. What is the address, Buzz? It's appeal box something.
I don't know the box number. Let me check.
Christ, is
we don't know our address here.
I know our street address.
No, no. Give out the PO box.
Don't we have a Washington D.C. PO box?
Yes, we do. And that's where the jail mail comes.
Here comes Lisa. She's got it.
Here we go. What is it?
PO box 3659. Washington, D.C.?
Is it 3649?
49, isn't it?
Oh.
Yeah. Bye, Lisa.
One of those.
3649.
North Pole.
I think it's 49. Really.
Oh, I'll double check. It's 2007.
Wait, no. Hey, we're all in here, except for Joe.
No. It's Charlie. Hi, Charlie.
It's P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C. 2007.
Thank you very much.
Very good.
That's where you send your mail to Kyle Osborne from Channel 7.
Send it to I Love Kyle.
Oh, yeah.
Kyle, describe yourself physically for any of the male prisoners incarcerated around America who might want to send you a love letter for next Friday's segment.
Okay, well, first of all, I like to collect stuffed animals.
Come on, be serious.
No, I am 5'11", and currently... What did I say wrong?
Nothing.
What?
That just made me laugh.
Nothing. You're 5'11".
The stuffed animal didn't make me laugh. That makes me. I'm 5'11". He's telling the truth.
Yeah. I'm 5'11", and you'll notice that I'm about 30 or 40 pounds lighter than the last time you saw me.
You do look good.
Yeah, good.
You look good.
Very much. About 177 pounds today, but I'm holding a little water. I wear glasses. I hope that's not a turnoff for people out there. For some people, it is. Should I get laser eye surgery? I don't know.
He sounds like he wears glasses, doesn't he?
Yes, he does.
Absolutely.
That sucks. That hurt, man.
I'm sorry.
That hurts.
But it's true. It's true.
I've never even visited the basement of the science building, and I resent that.
You're a weatherman.
Yeah. Can I correct you on something? I love you guys. You're my idols, and I hate to do this, but you keep calling me a weatherman who does part-time entertainment. And I got to tell you, I'm a part-time weatherman who does entertainment full-time. I'm the real deal, babe.
So
I've been doing entertainment
job,
reporting for almost 20 years. Did you know that?
Your job is like you're the feature entertainment guy for Channel 7?
That's right.
That's what you do?
For News Channel 8 and for Channel 7. I'm the utility man.
Listen,
you're a baseball fan. I do whatever the heck they need
you
to do.
You were on a lot during the blizzard on Channel 7.
Yeah, I was. Get a little FaceTime there. I want to be the style section for the Don and Mike show and for Channel 7 and for News Channel 8.
Which do you like better? Do you like doing the feature entertainment stuff better than weather?
Way better. I've always loved entertainment. I was interviewing rock stars when I was 19 years old.
All right, Kyle Osborne. Sex quiz time.
No way, man. You're not making me take the sex quiz.
Yeah. Have you ever?
No way, man.
Everybody on the show is taking the sex quiz.
I can't. I got to take the sex quiz?
Yes.
Come on. You're
goofing
now.
No, I swear to God. I'm not goofing. Don't make me take the... Let me talk up a ramp of a song. Let me show you how I can do it.
No. Come on. Take the sex quiz. Everybody's taking it.
But even Buzz is over there going, dude,
Buzz is taking it.
No, I'm saying you should. Really.
Seriously. Absolutely. Yeah. If you're trying to do a bit, this is not working. You got to take the sex quiz.
I'm not trying to do a bit. I'm trying to...
take the sex quiz, Kyle.
Right here.
Come on.
Come on. Don't.
Okay, then.
No.
Early, get him.
No.
Yeah, he'll take it.
Are you taking it or not?
I'm taking it. Can I take it non-verbally? Can I go like this?
No,
and this?
No, you have to take it verbally.
You know what, Charlie? I've had enough of this.
Whoa,
I'm serious,
dude. I don't
need another sponsor.
Thank you.
Mike and I can review the movies fine. Kyle, you're a great guy. Good luck, Charlie. Hey, Charlie, let's get him out of here.
A litmus test.
Oh my God.
Let's get him out of here.
I thought that went well. I thought that went very well.
Good luck, Kyle. Seriously.
You know I'll still be a fan forever.
I know you will. Thank you.
1991. I can quote lines. I gave you celebrity sound bites over the years.
Thanks for coming in.
Montage at the beginning.
Somebody please come get this guy out of here.
Security! Security!
You're really kicking me out.
For now, yes. We're kicking you out for now. No one's coming in.
Come in again.
All right.
Jesus
I'm
Christ.
I'm out. I'm out.
All right. Let's get out of here.
All right. Thank you, Kyle.
You know, I'm still a fan, guys.
We'll look for you on Channel 7 and News Channel 8.
Bye.
Thanks very much.
Thank
bye-bye.
You. Thank you,
bye.
Kyle. Thank you. There you go.
Goodbye. Goodbye.
Jesus Christ.
Well, there you go.
Bye, Kyle.
That's why
thank
it's
you.
Called an audition.
All right.
See you, Kyle.
Right. What'd you expect?
Jesus Christ. I thought he was goofing.
You're killing me.
I thought he was goofing. We said, hey, no, sex test. No, I'm not taking any sex quiz, a sex test.
Bye, Kyle. Bye-bye. There you go.
Bye. Hi, Charlie.
Charlie Sainson.
If I can get him to take it, will you let him take it?
Yeah.
No, you're done with it?
Nah, yeah, come on. Come on. I mean, it's like, what do we got to go back and beg him?
Oh, that's all I wanted to know.
No, absolutely not. Thanks, Charlie. Bye-bye. Jesus Christ. Come on. Pestering weatherman.
No, come on. Now, be nice.
I like him.
Yeah, he's a nice
we
guy.
All do. I like him.
Right.
But all I'm saying is we went through all of that stuff with Stossel.
We did. And then there was it was Stossel's sign, and that was one of the only, you know, I thought I enjoyed the segment. He's a very nice guy. Mm-hmm. You know, but, you know, it's tough with that whole TV thing. You know, he's got, that's difficult. Well, you know.
And I just want to say,
got to come into our world. You know, you could take a few lessons from Leah Remini on how to handle us.
Mm-hmm. And last thing on this, as you said, we're fans of Kyle's.
He's a good Absolutely. He's a very nice guy. We're still friends.
I'd just like to say, for the record, he called us.
Right.
We didn't call him.
Mm-hmm.
He called us
and
wanted
he's
to...
coming back in now. He's coming back in.
Come on, get out of here.
Oh, God.
Come on, I'm done with you. Really, I got a break.
You don't want to give him a second chance?
Negative. But Mike, first instincts are always the best instincts. That's the guy to take a sex quiz. He says no. The next thing you know, one of these times you're going to say something 1 week, and it's going to be Stossel
all over again. Okay, all right.
Thank you, Kyle. Bye-bye. Bye-bye, friend. See you later. Jesus. Wrong show to worry about your reputation on. Really. And that's...
What he did with you is he pushed the Stossel button.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what he did.
Right.
So we're not... Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
We're not going to have to go through this like painful exercise every week now, are we?
No. He's the only one that's called.
Oh, now I can just hear Morris Jones is going to be on the phone now. Oh, God.
He'd take the sex quiz, though.
Yeah, I think he already has.
Yeah. And would you take Arch if Arch...
No. Arch Campbell?
Would he take the sex quiz?
No, you know, I don't care. You know why I don't care? I'll tell you why I don't care.
Here I am. Next. Like everything's a little mystery, Baggett. Don and Mike, hello.
Hi, Don.
Hi there.
Not that there's anything wrong.
Not that there's anything wrong.
Hi.
Give him a second chance.
Honey, listen.
But I like him, but he's definitely got to take the sex quiz.
He had his chance. And so did you.
Goodbye.
Hope you like being on the show. Hi, Don and Mike show.
She did.
I agree. Give him a chance to take. If he takes the quiz, give him another chance.
Listen, all you C-words. I gave him the chance when he was in here. Said, take the quiz. Take the sex quiz. No. Come on. You don't know the behind-the-scenes crap that we went through with Charlie Stossel.
Oh, and that's what you're getting a little flashback on.
Yeah, right. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi. I love Kyle. I can listen to the
women calling in.
Chicks seem to dig him.
Right.
Now I'm waiting. We got to get a smelly guy that's going to call in and go with the counterpoint.
Uh-huh. Hello, Don and Mike.
Now get a good damn phone.
Sorry, that's an awful telephone. Hello. Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Yeah.
I want to be your common man movie reviewer.
No.
You know what? Forget it. This is it. We're sticking to the format we have. We review movies that we haven't seen yet.
I think that's fine.
It works. That's it. Another Pandora's box. Besides, I mean, I didn't even tell you that the guy I already had before he came in today, there was already a certain area that we weren't allowed to talk about with the guy already.
Oh, all right. Before, well, then you gotta have the old rhino skin.
Before we even started.
All right. Well, then that's fine. Then that, you know what? And I think it'll be just fine.
Right. Jesus H. Christ. We got a break. God damn. Why come in? Why waste our time?
I don't want a controversy.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Well, I have a microphone, and you don't.
So you will listen to every damn word I have to say!
The Don and Mike Show.
Don, Mike, both of you, idiots.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Right.
We're the stars of this piece of shit.
Sweeter than Vince Lombardi's caramelized scrotum. The Don and Mike Show.
What is it? Hello, Don and Mike. Hello.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Yeah, you're
speak
on the air.
Us. Hi.
Hey, you guys rock. That's for you, Norocco boy.
Right.
I just wanted to congratulate you guys on hiring that schmuck. If he was a true fan, he would know that if he turned you down for the sex quiz, he wouldn't hire him.
Well, here's what we just heard during the commercials was that he was in part doing shtick. And now, please, enough of the shtick. And also, he was covering his ass with Channel 7. And as much as we like Kyle Osbourne,
right?
No thanks.
No, and probably not. You know, stuff like that might happen down the road. And so that's. I think it's just as well. And we part as friends.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Don.
At least that's the way we're looking at it.
Hello,
Don. That's your house, man. He's in your house.
Well, no. He's out of our house.
He just
that's
left.
Right.
He just left the house.
He's out of the house. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi, Don, Mike.
Yeah.
This is Mark from Baltimore.
Yes, Mark.
Don, I really like it better than just the two of
them. Well,
you know,
you like something.
I suppose this is every metropolitan area.
I don't know.
But I'm getting so sick of cell phones dropping out.
They never work.
Mike, that was our brand spanking new phones.
That's what's doing it?
In that case, yes. It was our brand.
You know what? I'm still sick of cell phones.
It was our brand new phone system that just died out there. Hello, Don and Mike.
Yeah, hi.
There you go. It's working now. Hi.
The guy was even much more of a fag than Charlie Stossel. He sounds limp as a, you know, so unbelievable.
All right.
You know, you knew we were going to get the other side, the counterpoint.
Hello, Don and Mike. Hello.
Turn your radio down.
Hello.
Hello?
Yeah, you're on the air.
Is
hello.
Is this Joe?
Yeah.
Is this Joe?
Yeah.
What do you want?
Hey, Joe.
Hi there, baby. How you doing?
What's going on?
What are you doing tonight?
Going out with you?
Love to.
All right.
When can I pick you up?
Can we smoke a game?
Yeah, I'd like to. Can I pick you up later?
Yeah, baby.
What are you wearing?
Dustin.
You got big ones?
I got size double D.
You do? You got a nice butt?
How about you? You got a big one?
Yes, I do. It's huge.
Oh, nice juicy one.
It's huge, and it's all for you.
That's bubbly.
Okay. I'll pick you up later on, then, okay?
I don't forget me.
Party on.
Bye-bye.
Bye. She was the C word.
Hello. Don and Mike show. Hello.
Oh, hey, Don. I wanted to know what happened with Kyle. And actually, I don't want to know what happened.
Well, you know what happened with Kyle if you're just listening to the show.
Hello?
Oh, Jesus Christ. You idiot. Hello, Don and Mike show.
That's better.
Gosh.
Stupid idiot.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Yes, if he really wanted to be a member of the crew, he would have done it. No questions asked.
Right.
Thank you.
Gotcha. All right, thanks. Hello.
Barry.
Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, you're on the air.
Oh, hey, I had a question to ask you about a game show you guys did last week.
All right.
You had a couple of couples in there, and you were asking them questions about each other.
Yes, they were divorcing couples, the backwards newlywed game.
Yes, yes. Hey, before I ask that question, were you on TV on a television show?
No.
Okay, you sound like someone on TV. Well, anyway, I just wanted to ask a question. You know, the whole game, one couple, like, beat up on the other couple.
I can't
really
go on any longer with him.
Nor can I. Mike, let's bring in our next guest.
Ah, we have another guest.
We do.
Hope this goes as well
we
as
do.
The last
well,
segment.
It's, as you know, Black History Month.
Yes, it is.
And despite Rob's protest,
right,
we are, in fact, celebrating Black History Month.
Rob has been protesting vigorously. We are ignoring his protest.
Here is Howard G.
Hey, Howard.
Yes, I am back.
The Kiss My Bumper guy.
Look just at how, kiss it, just kiss it, I'm back.
Look at how sharp you are. Look at that outfit.
Oh,
look at that.
He's got his Sean John clothes on. He got his puppy
wow.
clothes on.
$200.
Man, look at that.
Got some overseas, over Afghanistan, you know, over Middle East, you know.
Yeah.
But I'm man, you know how it is.
Wow. How are you, Howard?
Pretty good.
All right. How you doing? Good to see you.
Hi, Howard. Have a seat, and let's get right to Black History Month.
Now, Howard, let me ask you right out of the box here. Why do you have the bullhorn, Howard?
I just had a bullhorn, so, you know, sort of. I'm having a problem with my batteries. You know how it is. Black man, you know, it's the batteries. Hello.
No, that's all right. It's the way the it's the way the
so the black man can be heard, you know.
we need to be heard.
All right. That's pretty good. All right.
What can we, as the white devils, do to promote Black History Month? Because other than having Robert on a couple of weeks ago, we've done nothing.
Okay. Well, I feel like, you know, you should talk to all your companies, you know, Providian, Cable, all those guys that, you know, that we owe money to. Let them know for the whole month of February, black people shouldn't pay no bills. I proclaim it.
That's an interesting
It shall
concept.
Be heard.
That's a very interesting.
That's a good thing.
So, like,
good.
From
no rent.
So, February,
no rent.
The end of the month,
that's
the whole
right.
month,
no, rent.
No bills.
No car
payments?
No car notes, nothing.
So
the
that
whole month.
If that held true, you'd go out, like, in January, and you'd rack up a pretty significant
that's
bill.
Right. You could save, right. you know, get a new, you know, mm-hmm. new motorcycle, something, you know.
Okay, very good.
What is your answer to those who say that February is Black History Month because there's only 28 days?
Well, yeah, that's another thing. That's the shortest month of the year, mm-hmm. you know, and why do we get the shortest, you know? What's mm-hmm. up with that? Is that a conspiracy? What's the problem?
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like we should maybe extend that.
Through March?
March. Because, you know, they're both the same.
Right.
Same days, same everything. So
mm-hmm.
February, March. Let them both be Black History Month.
So make Black History 2 months.
That's right.
Very good.
Okay, and here on this show,
okay.
are we black enough?
That's a good question.
Yeah, well, let me tell you this. You guys got to be black enough because when I, like you said, y'all said earlier, I was listening to you guys, I mean, when you come on your show, you have a life after your show. Because a lot of people pulled me up and said, man, I heard you, Don, and I'm talking about my people. Mm-hmm. Well, evidently, y'all, you have some black listeners.
Yeah, we do.
Who are listening.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently, your voices are being heard through the black airways, okay? Mm-hmm. So,
All right, so.
I think you are black enough.
Having said that, Rob,
okay.
please give me my TV theme songs,
okay.
and we will give Howard a chance to win fabulous plugs for whatever it is that you're here to promote.
All right.
That works for me.
Now, what we're going to do to Why celebrate not? Black History Month, well, when did they start making black TV shows, Rob?
Well, that would be
depends
the...
on how far back you want to go. Don't,
no, don't play
now,
me like
Rob. Early 60s.
Early 60s.
Rob likes Amos and Andy.
No, not that. No.
But let's see.
70s.
Howard's still working on his bullhorn.
Yeah, it's working. Here we go.
Hold on, right. I got some calls for you, Howard. Hello, Don, on my show.
Man, what's up? How come Joe won't let the brothers get on? He hung up on me 3 times. Man, I'm gonna have to call the Black Panthers. What's up, man?
Hi, how are you?
It's Black History Month in
That's
the
right.
house.
That's right.
Finally.
What's up,
Finally.
Baby?
Yo, Don, it's me. I'm the one that always tell you that your brother's black.
Yeah.
And let me tell you why again. He ain't got no job. He got a bunch of baby mamas. He got a Jag, and he getting high. He's
right.
gotta be black. He live in a ghetto too, dog. He gotta be black, dog. Admit it. Admit it. Admit it.
Howard.
Yes.
Name this famous black television show. Can you name it?
Okay. That TV show, for the famous black TV show, that was...
You don't know that one?
Hold up. I know it. Mm-hmm. It's just slipping my tongue a little bit. It's slipping me a little bit. I know it's not Sanford and Son. I know that for a fact.
No, it's not.
And I know. Hold on.
It was What's Happening.
What's Happening? Oh, right. My goodness. I just worked with Fred Barry rerun not too long ago. You know, he's doing comedy now.
He does stand up, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. I worked with him not too long ago. Oh, my goodness.
Are you sure you're a black man?
Yes, man. Yes, I am. Let's try this again.
All right, here's another one.
Now the world don't know.
Oh, I know that one. That was the word Nell Carter. She was the
no,
maid.
No.
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 Oh, Back to Life.
No. No.
Now the world don't know what who the feeling is on drugs. What might be right for you may not be right for some.
Different strokes. Different strokes.
Yes.
Different strokes. It was Different Strokes. Well, I suppose because the star of the show.
Gary Coleman. Yeah.
All right, very good. But Facts of Life certainly wouldn't be considered a black show.
Now, this one is really a wild card.
Wild.
Here you go. Mike, no help.
Oh, I know that.
What is it?
Benson.
Benson.
Yeah. Up two.
All right, okay, you're up two. Let's
That's
do
good.
One here. This is one that's tough.
Yeah.
Be tough for the white devil.
Okay.
Here we go. Howard G. on Black History Month. Name this TV theme. I'll give you a hint. It was on Saturday night, I think, right?
Yeah.
you name it.
Now, that's No Place Like Home. That's not. Hold on. No, I'm saying that's not the Nell Carter one?
No. I'll give you a hint.
George Jefferson.
Oh, George Jefferson. It can't be. No, that's not.
Oh, wait a minute.
Moving on up.
No, but it was the show after the Jeffersons. It was.
Amen?
Amen.
Is that it?
That was Amen.
Does anybody know what the show was?
227.
227?
Yeah.
All right.
That wasn't after. That was before.
No, it was after. It was after. Marla Gibbs' show afterwards.
Marla Gibbs spinoff.
Oh, oh man.
All right. Okay.
All right. Oh.
All right. Here's a hard one.
Where you get these themes?
That is a Howard.
We're celebrating Black History Month.
It's true.
Spending my time just holding the line.
Howard, do you have any idea?
Give me a hint.
All right, I'll give you a hint. May have been violated by Michael Jackson.
Oh, so that means...
Oh, I know. Now I know.
Kids, then, if it's violated by Michael Jackson.
And...
I know.
Howard? Mike.
Webster.
Right. Oh, my goodness.
That's a crappy theme song.
Yeah. It was. All right, here's another one for you now.
Rob. Rob, what is it? Dear. I don't like the fact that Rob is involved with this.
Yeah, it's trouble.
We are poor little lambs.
What the hell is this?
Black sheep.
That was not a black show.
Rob, Tommy, funny now.
Yeah, Rob, watch out.
Rob.
Stop it, Rob.
My boy homework.
Jesus Christ. Hey, Howard, while we're picking a song, seriously, tell us, you went to Afghanistan.
Yes.
When did you go and what was that like?
Oh man, it was awesome. The weather was hot, okay? Myself and three other Baltimore comedians, Ricky Shackelford, Joe Recker, and Lionel Davis, we went over there to perform for our U.S. troops. And I got to take my hat off to those guys. They're doing a great job. Those soldiers over there are ready. Went to Saudi Arabia, Afghanistan, Kuwait, went to Abu Dhabi, Dubai, which is a very pretty city. That's where I got all this gold from.
You know, I heard a Robin Williams interview when he came back from Afghanistan, and he was talking about there's this paramilitary group of guys over there that they have full beards and stuff.
Right, right.
Do we have those kind of, those badass guys that are on the ground over there?
Yeah, I think they have the Afghan troops. I mean, Americans are training those guys.
They just said that there were some of these guys that were like, they were military, if they weren't military.
Right.
Our guys, but they didn't look like our guys.
They didn't look like our guys, but he blended in. They're like a special troop type.
Very
and I'm telling no secrets or nothing, but they got a lot of stuff over there. I mean, it was a base where they had a pool, they had basketball courts, they had a club, like an actual club on base that they could party and everything.
So you went there and you did your stand up.
Did stand up
and. What was the reception? Were they glad to see?
Oh yeah, they were very glad to see us. They was happy to see us. First being from the States, they loved that, and then the fact that we was funny, of course, and we was like the bad boys of Baltimore, and we had a great time.
Then it was Afghanistan where they had the pool and the club and everything.
No, that was over in Saudi Arabia.
In Saudi Arabia. Okay,
and,
really been a
and it's
before.
Funny about the alcohol over there because they say in some certain countries. No pornography,
right.
No alcohol is allowed. And one of our comedian friends had some beer. They took all that stuff out of his luggage and just dumped it out right there in front.
Really?
Of
they got totally uptight about it.
Yeah, they don't play. They don't play. They don't play.
What did you think about Kyle Osborne? Do you think we were right to kick him off the show?
Of course. I took that sex test, man. And I'll take it again.
Howard G.
Yes.
If you don't get this one, you are not a black man. I'm going to give you like 5 seconds. If you don't get this, you got to give me your card on the way out at bar, and you're white.
Good time. Oh, yeah. That's it, baby. Good time, baby.
Good time.
I got that one.
And I think, in my opinion, one of the best TV themes, really, of all time. I mean, that the one, the Webster theme.
Damn!
Every week, the father, what's his name? He was getting, James, losing his job every week.
Absolutely.
Bossing up the job, I'm telling you, man.
All right, are you ready?
Yes. What do you have? What do you
name
have?
It.
So I'm 3-3-2. 3-2, I'm
name
still up.
Name it and claim it. Here we go.
Oh, of course.
This is a friend of God.
Yeah.
I know the God show because I do his voice very well, you see.
Right.
Hold on. Calls. Hello. Michelle has a question about black people.
Oh, my goodness.
Michelle, hello.
Hi, I was wondering, why do colored people in their vehicles, they put their seat, their back of their seat, all the way back to where like they're almost laying in the back seat?
Howard, is this Ron Spiewak's sister calling in?
Why is color, that, Howard?
Okay, first of all, we don't use the term color anymore, sister. We prefer to be called African Americans or blacks. We prefer those two.
Do you have any insight on these seat
questions? Yeah, the seat thing is because it's the way the young people, our hip hop culture, is relaxed. We're chilled at that pace where we're driving, cruising, sitting on our dubs, our 20s, 10s. Y'all know the wheels.
Okay, very good.
Right. Very expensive wheels, too.
Hello. Don and Mike show.
First of all, black people like to sit, lean back in their seats because when you're not driving.
What the hell is
white
going
guy
on?
Calling?
It's a white guy calling.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello, Don and Mike.
Speak to us.
Or not.
I don't know. We lost that one. Kirk, hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Yeah, you're on the air. Hi.
Come on, brothers. How you doing?
Hi.
Good. Hey, man, anytime a white person refers to a black person as colored, they're racist. Second of all, how dare you call me colored? When you get cold, you turn blue. When you get sick, you turn green. When you get hot, you turn red. When you try a tan, you turn brown. You call me colored?
Good point. Good point, Kirk. All right. Hello, Alfie, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike, you guys rock and you guys roll. That's for you, Tim.
Right.
Just have a really simple question. I want to know, if I was a white guy born in South Africa and I moved to the United States, am I known as an African-American, and how does a true African-American feel about that designation?
That's you know something? Everybody in this studio right now has the same expression on their face.
Like, huh?
An expression of total wonder.
Huh?
No one knows how to answer that question.
That's a good point, but you probably can catch a cab in New York, so I wouldn't consider you African-American if you can catch a cab.
All right, Howard, name it.
All right.
Now,
Fresh Prince of Bel Air.
All right, now you're on.
That's right.
On the road, though. Okay, one more. Let's give him a hard one, Robbie. Well, what do you got?
That Benson was hard.
This one was hard. Good job.
This one is impossible.
I know my parents.
I got it. Different world, baby. Different world. Jada Pinkett. That's my home girl from Baltimore.
That's wow.
I got that.
There you go.
I got that.
Who would have known that?
Hey.
Hold on. You got another one?
One big gun?
Bring it on, baby. Bring it on.
19?
Yeah.
Bring on the pain.
Good luck at this one.
Who's in the house? I mean, some house with LL Cool J.
No. It was on Fox.
Recent?
Oh!
Yeah.
Oh! Buck Carrick! No. He was in jail in real life. Oh, Rock! Charles Dutton.
My bad. Rock. I got that. That's something different from before. Okay.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Buddies?
Yeah, hi.
What's up, buddies?
Oh, come on. Hello, Don and Mike show.
They know the drugs.
Hello?
Yep, I'm a black guy, and I don't listen to Don and Mike Show.
One more. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello?
Hello?
You're on the air.
How come you didn't play the theme song to the original black show? You know what that is?
No, what would that be, my friend?
Amos and Andy.
They weren't black.
Well, and that was already mentioned.
No,
and they weren't black.
What do you mean they weren't black? Who said that?
Buzz said that.
Yeah.
They weren't black.
Thank you for calling, though. Rob, how is your father
doing? Very well.
All right, we got to go. We got to break. Howard, where are you going
to
be?
Hey, this weekend, I'm going to be in Delaware, Newark, Delaware. I'm performing at the Colby's and Company restaurant. We got one show tonight. That's the 9:45. One show tomorrow night. Then Tuesday, we're going to be at Philly Steakhouse behind the racetrack up in Charleston, West Virginia. Come on out. 8 p.m. show. You got to check that out. March the 8th, I'm going to be at the Holiday Inn in Manassas. That's right, man. Ass. You know, that's that country, right? That place. It's right off of exit 47B, the Holiday Inn. It's going to be off the hook. That's a 9 o'clock show. With more information, call 703-335-0000. Check out my website, comediang.com.
Yeah.
I'm very funny, guys. I mean, you need to check me out. I opened up for Don and Mike in one of their live shows, and it was off the hook.
Are you selling that? Is that what you
got? Yeah, this is one of my comedy CDs I brought for you guys. This is one of my comedy CDs. I'm hoping you guys can...
And if you're in D.C., watch Howard. He does the
D.C. Improv. I do the Kiss My Bubba commercial.
Kiss My Bubba.
That's right. That's right. And now they got a mortgage company just started. Now we're doing a mortgage company commercial soon with those guys, because Gary, love you guys.
Kiss my interest rate.
That's right.
All right, get out
Kiss my
here.
Doormat.
Unlike Kyle Osborne, you're welcome anytime.
Thank you, guys. I love you.
I love you.
Black History Month.
Thank you.
Don't pay no bills. Keep them alive, baby.
Oh, my God. Don't play that.
Oh, yeah, only Rob knows what this is.
Oh, my God.
You know, this is the theme to the Amos and Andy show.
Jesus Christ.
Rob found it.
My God.
Look how red Rob's face is.
Look at Rob.
Hey,
Rob is turning
hey,
red.
Rob, go see the movie Spike Lee's Bamboozle. You seen it yet? Get it. Get it on DVD. You will love it. It's definitely up your part.
Oh, God.
Thank you. Get out of here.
ComedianG.com.
Thank you, Howard.
Got it. Happy Black History Month.
Yeah, right. Thank you.
Howard G. Well, that went better than Kyle Osborne.
Oh, a hell of a lot better. Absolutely.
Thanks. And I got one more here. Mike, see if you can get this one.
Okay.
Although I'll give you a hint. Groundbreaking.
I Spy.
Good job.
Nailed it. Good job.
All right.
Groundbreaking, but
Robert
not all...
Robert Culp, Bill Cosby.
Not all black. It was the Oreo cookie.
Right.
The first time he had the black guy and the white guy.
But, I mean, really, yeah, groundbreaking. Very, very...
very groundbreaking.
Yeah, like, broke a lot of ground on that show.
So...
Which would be groundbreaking.
How long was that segment, Rob?
Seemed like hours.
Rob, stop it.
Rob.
Rob's trying to keep track of during the entire month how many minutes we devoted to Black History Month.
22 minutes.
Is that I just did enjoy watching Rob shaking his head the entire segment.
Is that for the whole month or just that segment?
Just that segment.
Just that segment.
Well, probably less, because I'd say probably 15.
All right.
Okay.
Calm down.
We got a break.
Oh, man. Boy, the boy's all in a lather.
Yeah. Thank you, Howard G. We'll be back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Hey, no, man, you said we were going to Sizzler.
Oh, man, shut your anorexic, malnutrition, tapeworm having, overdose, Dick Gregory, Bahamian diet drinking ass up. Leave me alone.
The Don and Mike Show.
Come on, come on.
They will put the boom, boom, booty on ye. Don and Mike.
I don't know that one.
Right. Let me see. Damn telephones. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, what's up, Don?
Hey, you're on the air, my friend.
What's up, man?
Hey.
Hey, I was just wondering, I want to say congratulations, Bart, and Robbie Rules.
Thanks.
So listen, man, Satan's been blowing you guys off for like a week now, man. What's the deal?
Oh, here's the deal. I really want to do that bit, Satan Dials for Phone Whores.
Mm.
If we did it now, it would take like 20 minutes. And then we'd have 2 minutes of buzz and 10 minutes of commercials and 2 minutes of buzz. So
and people would get angry.
Yeah, and that's we're trying to run the show more on a schedule to give the news bigger segments. So please give me till Monday. I promise we'll get to it Monday.
All right, Don, you rule.
So do you, my friend. I got a whole list of bits here.
Satan's never that far away.
We got the Satan thing. I want to do Naked Cruelty.
Mm-hmm.
I want to do Where Are You Listening? I want to bring back Stump the Joe. I want to do Charlie Graham's. I want to do the 1-900 medical info line game. I got a ton of stuff to get to here. It's just now we're to the point on the show where we're running behind. And we want to get caught up.
Right.
So let's get to this. I've been holding on to this letter for almost a month. This is why I have an emergency file. If we have a shorter break.
And it's covered with glass.
And I've just broken the glass. Here you go. Thanks, Robbie. Dated January 24th. Dear Don and Mike, first, thanks for years of great radio. Your show has rocked. Despite the fact I'm writing from Sacramento, I'm hoping you'll help me out. My name is Rob, and on Monday, the 27th of January, I'm having my colon removed because of a genetic condition that results in a high predisposition. Of early onset colon cancer.
Okay.
As a show of support, my friends have started a pool to try and guess the correct weight of my colon when it's removed.
All right.
My doctors have agreed
to weigh my colon. I'm doing this because I want to laugh through the recovery process and because my friends have provided me great support. In fact, listening to your show is a principal component to my recovery plan. I'll be in the hospital for up to 10 days after the surgery. So, you know, obviously this is now a done deal. It's already happened.
He's probably home already.
Facts, I weigh 215 pounds. I'm in good shape. I have no physical gastrointestinal abnormalities or tumors, so I'm assuming I have a normal colon. Elvis's colon weighed 40 pounds at the time of his death. My colon will be cleaned prior to surgery.
Yeah, when they talk about Elvis's colon, that's an autopsy statistic.
And it was chalky and impacted.
So obviously this guy would go through that cleansing process like you would do when you're getting a colonoscopy.
Because of your Elvis Death Day shows, my friends and I reverently listen to, I'm hoping you will put in a guess for the weight of my colon soon to be removed. Please call me and leave your guesses on my answering machine or call my best friend Guido on his cell phone. Even if you call off the air, and I appreciate this, and I can't explain why, but I would. Anyway, I'll be listening. Thanks for everything you do. This is from Rob in Sacramento. Now, we have not been able to get a hold of Rob.
All right.
However, his friend Guido.
You got to like anybody named Guido.
Guido is expecting our call now on the cell phone. We've called to say the show's calling, so we don't have to get his permission.
Okay, very good.
Now, nobody knows how much this guy's colon weighed when he had it removed.
Are we going to take guesses?
We are going to take guesses right now.
All right, cool.
And if Elvis's was 40 pounds and impacted and chalky, and this guy weighs 215, I'm going to say his colon weighed 7 pounds.
All right.
Mike.
I'm going to say it weighs, I'm not going to give you a number, but I will say that it weighs less than a pound.
Oh, less than a pound.
Wow.
Buzzy.
Well, I don't know if we're talking about empty or full. I know the contents can add to the weight.
Well, I think we're talking about empty.
Okay. I think you said they're going to clean it out.
Okay, yeah, they normally would before surgery. They didn't have that luxury with Elvis. I'm going to say 12 pounds.
12.
Really?
Yeah.
And Robbie?
I'm going to guess 2 pounds, 4 ounces.
What's 2 pounds?
All right.
Okay.
2 pounds.
So,
when do you see when it comes up 2-4? Won't you feel silly?
You're right. So, here are the guesses. Me, Don, 7 pounds. Mike, less than a pound.
Hi.
Buzz, 12 pounds. Rob, 2 pounds.
Just like The Price is Right?
4 ounces.
Without going over?
No. No, because that like gives you the over-under on this thing.
Just yes, it does.
Whoever's the closest.
All right.
So now let's call and, you know, more importantly.
You win all the bets and my teams never win.
More importantly, we'll find out how this guy's doing.
Yes.
But we'll also find out how much his colon weighs.
Very good.
While you're dialing, let me say that I looked on the internet and it said that sometimes an unhealthy colon can weigh up to 60 pounds.
Really?
Well, yeah. Elvis's was only 40.
His was only 40. So
wasn't it jammed with fecal matter?
Yes, it was, yeah.
I mean, that's why they'd weigh that much.
Chalky and impacted.
So we're calling Guido right now in Sacramento.
Jenny, you just
hello.
Guido.
Hey, what's up?
Guido, it's Don and Mike. Howdy, you're on the air. You know that already. Somebody called you.
Yeah, I'm actually in Portland.
You're in Portland, Oregon?
Yeah.
All right. We're calling about your friend Rob.
Oh, yeah. I heard about it.
Okay, Rob sent us the letter on the 24th of January. He was going to have his colon removed, wanted us to guess the weight, and he sent in his letter that we could call you. We tried to call him at the number he left, and we can't get to him. Guido, first, can you tell us, is your friend Rob doing all right after the surgery?
He's doing great, actually. He's up and about. I thought he'd be down for a lot longer, but he's driving a car, he's walking, and it was non-cancerous, which is really cool.
And that's a major operation, and he's recovering well.
All right, now.
8-hour procedure.
Wow.
Thing is, we've got... Well, do we have any money on this?
No.
No.
Why?
Well, I'm out of cash. I had to pay Buzz $100.
And he owed me $20. But that's on a... That's on an ongoing account, Mike.
Yeah, we kind of do that.
Yeah, we do.
That was one of those $20 loans there. Or we want back. But you want it back.
No, I don't want it back. That's all right.
You're killing me.
No, I know.
I don't have any money right now.
Right at the end of the night. Well, hold on. If you had to get $20 from me last night, how'd you get the $100 to pay Buzz?
I got it today.
Oh, I got you.
I went to the money machine today.
All right, well then, simply for bragging rights.
All right.
Can you tell us, Guido, when they removed your friend Rob's colon in Sacramento, how much did it weigh?
Just over 2 pounds.
Rob.
Rob.
B-Wag. Rob.
Rob.
B-Wag.
Just over.
It wouldn't happen to be 2 pounds and 4 ounces, would it?
Oh, God.
Look at him. He's out of control.
He's totally out of control.
We don't
I don't have the specific, but it was a little over 2 pounds.
A little over two pounds.
We'd love to know. We'd love to know.
3.5 ounces, but we'll call it 4.
Find out if you can.
Well, Rob Spiewak, if you would please contact your friend Rob in Sacramento and tell him that Rob Spiewak guessed correctly.
Wow.
Thank you. Actually, I just told him to turn the radio on, so he should be listening.
Do you think he's at this phone number he gave us?
Which one? Well, I don't know which one you...
Well, if you just talk to him, that means we could talk to him.
All right, I'll try to call him.
Yeah.
All right, bye-bye. Hold on. Let me see if I get the...
We don't want... We're lucky to get the information out of it. Two? Feeling pretty good about yourself, aren't you?
I know my colon.
Thank you. All right, let's try the guy right now.
Greg,
we just got an answering machine before we tried this guy.
Wow. You just never know what that oversized brain's going to come up with.
Seriously. Rob Meyer.
Look at me, Mr. Idiot Under a Pound. Glad we didn't put any money on the table.
Yeah, me too. I said 12.
We're sorry.
Come on.
And you, I would have thought, would have known better than most.
I thought so, too, you know.
But with all of your colon stuff, Buzz.
They say the stuff that clings to the sides can weigh up to 7 pounds.
Hello, is this Rob?
Yeah, this is.
Hey, Rob, it's Don and Mike.
Oh, my God, I've been listening for the past few minutes. My friend Guido just called me from Portland.
Oh, yeah, we tried you first, and we just got your machine.
Oh, no, I was just out. Up at the store and just came back.
Well, glad to hear you're okay.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, guys.
Glad to hear everything is fine. Now, without a colon, how do you go number two?
Well, it's a lot quicker.
A lot quicker right now?
Yeah.
You're feeling better, though?
Yes, very much.
And did you hear Rob's guess, 2.4 ounces?
Yep. It's, I would say 2.2. Was the
wow,
so very close.
And he went over.
So close.
Very, very close.
Sorry it took us so long to get back to you, but see, the dreams do come true.
No, you know, you guys have just rocked for so long. It was fun for just me to even fax the letter and just say, you know, it was a stab in the dark, and, you know, it was something I knew that would appeal to you guys. And my friends were all laughing, and we were having a really good time with it. And I think that, more than anything, like, really helped me get through.
Yeah. That's the nicest. I swear to God, it's one of the nicest things people ever say to us, and we appreciate it.
You guys are great. And I think I mentioned one of the skits you had in there going on with the Rico Suave commercial. And I was like, as I was typing it up, listening to that and just laughing out loud. You know?
You're the greatest, Rob. God bless you.
All right.
Glad to hear you're okay.
Yeah.
And again, our guesses, I had 7 pounds. Mike had less than a pound.
Mm-hmm.
Buzz guessed 12 pounds. Mm-hmm. Rob A guessed 2 pounds, 4 ounces.
Yeah!
And Rob Meyer from Sacramento, who recently had his colon removed, the colon weighed 2 pounds, 2 ounces.
That sounds like a petite teenage colon.
Yes, it does.
My lovely teenage colon. All right, glad you're feeling better, Rob.
And you guys, thanks so much. And you guys totally rock, and that's for you, Tim.
All right, take care.
Take care.
Let me give you a prize here.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
An Ultimate Fighting Championship jacket.
Okay.
Yeah. I know.
I'm not doing much of that.
Listen,
it's a jacket.
It's the end of the week. What do you
sure.
You know what? That's all right. I'll take it.
From UFC 41 Onslaught, live Friday, Feb 28th, on pay-per-view, Comcast and Cox Cable. Thanks for listening out in Sacramento.
No problem. Thanks,
all right.
Guys.
Hold on, my friend. Gotcha.
That was cool.
See, I've just been carrying that around in my satchel.
Right.
And once in a while, you never know. You got a couple of minutes, you call a guy.
So. You know, so good on so many levels. Mm-hmm. Entertainment, information, wagering.
Yeah.
Rob won.
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden, one man found a way to bring good news to his people.
Buzz.
He made it up.
You just wait till I bring this big old gigantic Lucky Charm with me to Las Vegas next weekend.
Yeah. Boys, go out and win some money next weekend.
On that, the colon wheel.
Buzz, what is your lead story today?
The Joe Millionaire Bondage Video Girl is fit to be tied about how she was treated.
Whoa!
Sarah, right?
That's right.
Right.
Stay tuned for news and comments coming up on the Don and Mike Show.
That was very
professional.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
Complicated in its simplicity. The Don and Mike Show.
Now, Buzz, I know you have news there, but people are calling saying that Rob was right about the colon.
Huh.
We have the guy on the phone with the colon. I don't get this. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, buddy.
Hey.
2 pounds, 4 ounces is 2.25 pounds. So Rob nailed it. The guy on the phone said it was 2.2 pounds.
No.
Huh? Wait a minute. Hold on. What did he say?
What head?
There were some decimals bandied about, but he said 2 pounds, 2 ounces. I appreciate you giving me credit.
I guarantee you he said 2.2.
Well, thanks for your guarantee.
Guarantee.
He was very, very close.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, no, that guy said 2.2 pounds. We all heard him. And
by,
2.2,
by,
you try to divide that out.
By the way something, sir. By the way something. Why do you care? And now silence, because that's all it's about.
Mike, it's Friday night.
Right.
Friday night.
Friday night, just got paid.
Here's Buzz.
Hi, Donna, Mike.
Hi there.
Joe Millionaire runner-up Sarah Kozer is not happy about the way she was treated by the show's producers or the Fox Network. She's the one who appeared in dozens of bondage and foot fetish videos, and she's unhappy about being portrayed on the show as the bad girl. Quoting Sarah, I'm horrified. I'm completely embarrassed. She also says she and the 19 other women were completely duped from the get-go. She says the producer said it would be 20 single, sophisticated women in France looking for romance and adventure. So she says she figured it would be like a real-life version of HBO's Sex and the City doc.
What are you, f***ing retarded?
As for her time in the woods with Evan, she says, quoting again, it was nothing more than a kiss. Evan getting me off camera was a setup.
Shut up, bitch.
Yeah, I mean, come on. And you know, and if you were duped, when you got there, you probably, you know, had an opportunity to say F it, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
come
absolutely.
On.
Right.
Sour grapes. Little heavy stuff today. The crowd in Providence, Rhode Island cheered as the flames spread in a nightclub that killed over 95 people and injured over 180 others. Of those 180 injured, 35 are in critical condition. The death count will no doubt go higher. A lot of them thought it was part of the fireworks show that accompanied a concert there by the group Great White, which was supposed to have played in the D.C. area tonight. They won't be playing here.
Did you see that video of inside the club?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and they say it was stuff like soundproofing and that sort of thing that just went up like crazy.
3 minutes. Yeah. 3 minutes from the time the fire started to the time the whole building was engulfed.
Yeah. It was instead the deadliest fire in this country since the one that burned down a radical group's compound in Waco, Texas. It happened less than a week after nearly two dozen people died in a stampede at a Chicago nightclub. In last night's fire, the whole club, as Mike just said, was engulfed in flames inside of 3 minutes. One of the band members was among the missing. He's now been located. The show is being videotaped for a news story about nightclub safety.
Hey,
that's
Buzz?
Why we have that tape, yes?
I just like this part of the song.
So they found the guy that was in the band?
Yes.
He survived it?
Yeah, he's been located. Apparently.
I don't know how anybody in that band survived.
Yeah, I don't either. I didn't know
that band was still touring.
I didn't either.
They only had one goddamn good record.
Right. They were supposed to play at Jack's in Springfield tonight. The owner there says nothing like this could have happened there since Fairfax County is very strict about not allowing, as we know from previous experience, not allowing fireworks inside a venue like that.
Well, the whole reason, I mean, Jack's... You know, that place, the ceiling was
yeah, very
was like
low.
A 7-foot ceiling.
Very small venue.
And that's their only hit, right?
That's it. You know, I heard there was a fire at a music event in Providence.
Right.
It was very sad. Of course, even sadder when I discovered Gary Berkowitz wasn't there.
Oh! You hold on to that one, don't you?
He's my program director at Pro FM in Providence.
Don, I don't believe he even works there anymore.
I thought maybe he went back you know, for old times and thought,
concert.
There's a band from the 80s.
I can hope, right?
Let's go. Oh my God, it's exploded. It's on fire.
Wow. You called him Gary Berkowitz.
Gary Berkowitz.
And that, of course, you worked for him when the whole Son of Sam thing was going on.
Oh, and we
tortured him with the headlines.
With the headlines. He did a one-hour shift. He was one of these PDs.
Oh,
wants to be on for 1 hour a day, from 1 till 2 o'clock.
Familiar.
So we would go in the program log, you know, the commercials and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Every day there'd be a great headline in the New York Post, like, Berkowitz declared insane.
Right.
Berkowitz the butcher.
I enjoy this more when you talk, because this is one of your satanic program directors that I got a chance to meet.
Yeah.
And you know, and he just came across as super weenie. You know, I mean, he was.
He got so mad that one day he had a meeting. He wanted to know, who is putting these Son of Sam tabloid headlines in the log every day at 1 o'clock? We are not leaving this room until someone admits to it.
That kind of guy. That kind of guy
yeah.
I was.
Oh, yeah.
Dick. And don't think I will ever forget what he did to Terry O'Brien.
What?
Terry O'Brien did 10 p.m. to 2 a.m.
Right.
He was also the music director.
The graveyard shift.
Which meant on Tuesdays, he had to be back to work at 9 o'clock in the morning to see the record promotion guys.
Yeah.
So, what he would do on Tuesday nights, if it was Wednesday morning, he had to see the guy, he would tape an hour of a show. And the guy who did overnights would come in and would run the tape from 1 till 2 in the morning.
Right.
Well, Gary Berkowitz found out about this. And rather than just go to the guy and say, hey, listen, I don't think you should tape the last hour of your show, Gary Berkowitz hid in the bushes outside Pro FM.
No.
1 o'clock in the morning, waited for Terry O'Brien, and I remember because he called himself the Terry O'Brien person. That was his whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Waited for him to get in his car and drive away. Then he went into the studio where the overnight disc jockey was standing there playing a tape of mm-hmm. Terry O'Brien.
Right.
And Berkowitz said, stop the tape. And the overnight guy went, huh? Berkowitz said, stop the tape. So they stopped the tape. And there was dead air for 45 minutes.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. From a PD.
Yeah, that's a pro.
Jeez.
And the next day, Gary Berkowitz called in Terry O'Brien and said, why was there dead air from 1:15 to 2 a.m.? And he said, well, because I taped the last hour of my show, and I don't know what happened, and it was, boom, you're fired.
Oh, my
nice
God.
Guy.
Boom, you're fired.
Well, you know,
wow.
why not, and, you know, way to give the guy just one chance.
Yeah. Gary Berkowitz.
Oh, my God.
Jesus Christ, did I hate that son of a bitch.
Amazing.
I truly did. And remember his dog's name, Moish. He would always bring his goddamn dog to work every day. Come here, Moish. Come here, Moish.
God. Never heard the Moish part.
We used to do stuff with that dog, too.
Oh, no.
Not bad stuff.
Yeah.
We would, like, put notes in the dog's collar.
Oh, that's cute. I like that.
And just hope as the dog would walk around the radio station, eventually he'd walk up to Berkowitz. Like, something like, your daddy is an a-hole. That one never panned out.
Didn't work out, that one?
Anyway, that's my memory of Providence, is Gary Berkowitz.
Love it. Dr. Phil doesn't pay his bills, according to a Texas company that provides corporate jets. The company's lawsuit featured on... Excuse me.
Wow.
The company's lawsuit
wasabi.
Featured... It's the word lawsuit, I think.
Dr. Phil.
The company's lawsuit featured on the Smoking Gun website says Dr. Phil stiffed him for nearly $136,000.
Now, I don't understand that.
I don't either, Dr. Phil.
I'm Dr. Phil. Did I shock you with that?
Just a little.
Okay, how's that phlegm?
It's fine. It seems to be all cleared up now.
I hope you get rid of it, though.
I appreciate that, Dr.
Good.
Phil.
Clear that throat,
use
buzz.
More wasabi.
Very
the
good.
The company says the doc often flew on its planes for several months last year, and that despite letters, faxes, and calls demanding payment, he failed to provide the money.
I'm thinking of going on David Letterman. I'm going to open up a can of whoop-ass on him.
You did that, in fact, Dr. Phil. Your appearance on his show Monday night gave Dave his first ratings victory over Leno in 3 years.
Well, good for him.
Yeah, congratulations.
Duh.
Now, about this plane deal, on his website, Dr. Phil advises, and I quote, you need to have integrity when it comes to financial issues. Quoting a spokesman for the aviation company, he should practice what he preaches.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Listen, Dr. Phil, aviation. Here you go. We got a break, Buzz.
All right. Are we breaking?
We are.
Well, good for you.
Don't be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show.
Addicted to elective cosmetic surgery. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Botox party, my place tonight.
Yay!
See you there. Now here is Buzz Wasabi. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Donna, Mike. Well, this evening, around the world, people are raising a glass to the late Chicago Cubs broadcaster Harry Carey. To mark the fifth anniversary of his passing, his fans are being asked to drink a toast to him at 5:25 p.m. local time. So we've missed it here this evening. And
thanks, Buzz.
Well, if people do this around the world, however, as
I sure wish we had a chance to say goodbye.
Remember what we called? We used to call him, and we got his wife Dutchie.
Right? Dutchie,
yeah, I remember Dutchie,
Dutchie Carey. Take me out.
Dutchie Carey.
Look at my glasses.
Now, if people around the world participate in this as they're expected to, the toast will officially be 24 hours long. And it could happen. Bars across the country and in China, India, and Austria, to name a few, are taking part.
Hi.
The drinking's being organized by Harry's restaurant chain, which estimates that about 300,000 people will be toasting, which is how many drinks Carey estimated he had had in his lifetime.
Shocked, though, being organized by his restaurant chain. It's a shock.
It's an emotional thing.
Trying to make some money off that. How long has he been dead now? Five years?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Today's the
still making thing. Money.
Harry. What a beautiful day for baseball.
It's a disco version.
Wow.
Take me out to the ball game.
Harry Carey.
Poor guy. Let him just decompose. You know, just let him rot away.
Let me be worm food. Beetle food.
The next big celebrity TV interview will have Barbara Walters talking with the guy who played Boetta. Robert Blake, who's already lost two lawyers over his desire to do an interview, has finally gotten permission from the sheriff to do one. The chat was recorded on Monday. It will air this coming Wednesday.
I'm not sure I want to talk to that bitch.
Really?
Why?
I don't know. My brother told me it was a bad idea. Yeah, and he's all stressed out.
Why?
He's lost a tremendous amount of weight. He's light as a feather.
Blake's latest lawyer says he'll stand by his client, even though he strongly disagrees with Blake's decision to do the interview.
And if I do that interview, I'll smother her with tears.
Quoting lawyer, he wants to get his story out. He wants to counter the image of him as the villain. It's his life. Mr. Blake is an innocent man who needs my help, and I will never abandon him.
Let me shoot that bird. That bird. Look at that. Feathers all over the place. That's for your father. That's for your mother. Barbara, I'm going to smother you with kisses. There's another one of them birds. There you go. Bang, bang. The feathers everywhere.
Under the
crown. Another one. Hold on. Aren't you dead yet?
And keep you alive.
Die, bitch. Yeah, you're not dead. Here, take another one. Between your bird eyes. There, you're gone now. You'll never be squawking at me again. Man, oh, you are all right. You just back. Pump a few pieces of lead. How many effing bullets does it take to kill a cockatoo? Oh, you. There. All right, come on. Oh, man, it's fetter soup.
And speaking of Blake on television, Court TV says it will cover his trial live when it begins on Wednesday. Neither the prosecution nor the defense protested the TV coverage, and the judge yesterday gave his okay. Court TV says it'll cover as much of the proceedings
live.
As it possibly can, quoting a Court TV
live.
Executive, gavel to gavel.
Live. Live. Live.
Herr Hasselhoff won't be out promoting the upcoming Fox movie Baywatch Hawaiian Wedding. That's because Dave and his 39-year-old wife got banged up in a motorcycle accident. They were riding on the same bike when he hit a curb. He hit a curb, although police are blaming the wind for the crash. He was thrown against a light pole while his actress wife Pamela Bach fell into the street. They were both wearing helmets.
We shouldn't laugh at that.
It's David Hasselhoff.
Hasselhoff.
He's being treated for cuts and bruises, a broken rib, and possible lower back fractures.
Here's what a doctor had to say.
And it hit him so hard, it knocked the feces out of him.
That it did.
She has a broken wrist and a fractured ankle. They're both listed in stable condition. Hasselhoff also starred in Knight Rider. That and his singing made him a big star in Germany.
Buzz, this just in, his career is also in critical condition.
In sports, the Washington Wizards say they're aware of a sexual misconduct investigation in Salt Lake City involving center Jahidi White. A spokesman says the club believes the allegations have no merit and no charges have been filed.
Fast play.
And finally, in England, they have a very high rate of teenage pregnancy. Sex ed teachers are wrestling with that problem, and their latest idea involves stopping points for kids 16 and under. They say holding hands is a stopping point. Kissing is a stopping point on the road to intercourse. But much to the concern of parents, they're saying that another stopping point is oral.
Oh, God.
The teachers say they're also getting questions about anal.
Oh, dear.
Oh, my.
Have a nice weekend. I'm Buzz Burbank.
My, oh, my.
On the Don and Mike Show.
No! That's it. We gotta go. Thank you, everybody. Have a great weekend. Don't hurt yourselves. Love you, Frida. Love you, Bart. We'll be back Monday with an all-new episode on WJFK-FM. Stay tuned for our buddies Ron and Fez.
Hey. All right.
WYSP in Philadelphia. Matt and Huggy and Broyles driving up there again tonight for Metallica.
Wow.
10 o'clock.
Very good.
Baltimore, you might as well sign this puppy off. And whatever. I don't know what else is on
whatever
around the country.
All right.
I don't care. Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, pal.
Hey, va, va, va.
Va, 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 va.
Va, va.
Va, va.
Va, va. All right, TV theme. Okay.
BM, eaters.
Till we meet again. Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.